just say to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Monday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, where the freaks over at Salon.com say that the recent epidemic of men punching random women in New York City is obviously a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling, you guessed it, MAGA. Day 1179. He put the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Heather has answers in the next hour. Double H is here. The subtitle of that article is, Random New York City attacks are an extreme manifestation of men feeling entitled to women's time and attention. Well, the solar eclipse has begun here. I don't see any effects so far. Which is... Wait. A little interference is up. We expect a little bit. Oh, boy. Actually, you can't even tell. It started, 10 minutes ago? I haven't been outside, but the shadows are a good tell, but I think it needs more coverage here.
What point do the trumpets that herald the end of days start going off?
Does what?
The trumpets that herald the end of days.
there are some good, even if you can't see where you are, you can get a Burger King, double Whoppers, BOGO Whoppers all day. Krispy Kreme has the Eclipse Donut with an Oreo on it. The Pizza Hut has a $12 any pizza. Sonic has something. Applebee's even has a Eclipse Margarita. Unfortunately, for the millions of people that flock to some areas of Central Texas to see it, there's heavy cloud cover.
Welcome to Central Texas.
Yeah, if you don't like the weather, hang out for a minute. Well, first of all, I'm not traveling that far. because they're telling you, get there early, but also stay there very, very late. After the 4 minutes or whatever you're going to enjoy of the eclipse, don't hop in the car and go because you're just not going to go anywhere. In New York City, hokels warning the eclipse goers to pack some water and snacks because you're going to be stuck in some god-awful traffic. I didn't know this, but there's a lot of... superstition, like some of it's actually spiritual stuff. This in Costa Rica, they believe that back in 2017 there was that other eclipse, and one guy, Jorge Arturo Aguero, and his family are Costa Rican. His wife, Chizik Aguero, was wanted to catch a glimpse of it, although she was pregnant. And his mother was pregnant with him back in 1991 eclipse, and she only went out to see it in black clothing. It's even still dangerous if you don't use black clothing, because had you not worn black clothing during an eclipse, that there's a high chance that your baby's going to be born with a birthmark.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So.
The sun just scorched you right through her belly?
Yeah, pretty much. At the 2017 eclipse, Chizik Aguero wanted to go out and watch it. Her own child would be born a month later, but she said, my husband said, no, you cannot do this. It might jeopardize our son. She went out anyway, but she did wrap a black hoodie sweatshirt around her belly to protect. And yes, the son was born without any birthmarks whatsoever.
Good.
The Navajo have a big deal. They got to be in full prayer during the eclipse. Focus their prayer on the sun or the moon. You can choose either one you want. And pray about ending bad stuff and evil stuff, and ending bad phases of life. Birth and renewal that will arrive when the eclipse ends should be focused upon. We got that going for us. But unfortunately, this is another this is another headline, and this is the most misleading. It's written in an outfit called Capital B News, and the headline is: Eclipse fever is gripping Black Texans. While the event will cast a brief shadow on life in Texas, it sheds a light on specific scientific fields that have been mainly out of reach for Black folks. So they got me with a headline. I'm like, oh, let's find out. Eclipse fever is gripping Black Texans. Well, is it gripping most Texans? But is it Black people especially being gripped?
I mean, I don't understand why it's just like getting to them only.
Let's see, blah, blah, blah. And then I started reading the thing. The most interesting sentence that he makes anywhere near the statement of it being somewhat racist is the word eclipse itself comes from a Greek word meaning abandonment. It goes on and on and on how to watch it, people doing this, do that, emergency, we're on an emergency. I mean, it's 12 paragraphs before it gets to the part in the very last paragraph where it says Neil deGrasse Tyson will host an eclipse watch party in Dallas, as some have used the opportunity to highlight fields, astrophysics and astronomy, that have been mainly out of reach for Black folks. Just 3% of the workforce in these fields is Black.
So astronomy is racist too.
Yes. Absolutely. And astrophysics. And then I think, whose fault is that? Black Americans, you know, make up 13% of the population. So, obviously, there'll be less in that field. I don't know if we're looking to get a perfect 13% score in every industry in the world, or in America, rather. But I blame it on astronomy and astrophysics, not racism.
Also,
the people in those fields, those scientific fields aren't recruiting correctly or interesting in the right people in it. You know what I mean?
Or sometimes people just don't want to do those things. It's not a very big field to begin with. So,
right.
I mean, there are people that is just maybe that's not their thing.
What nationality is Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I think he's considered just a Black American.
Oh, I thought he was had some Ferner blood in him. He's an interesting fellow, I'll tell you that. Some have used this opportunity to highlight these fields, astrophysics and astronomy, that have been mainly out of reach. Why are they out of reach? If there's an interest, it's not out of reach. What are we? No black kids in the planetarium. Sorry. You know the rules. I mean, is that what we're doing? How is it out of reach?
It's not. It's just a lack of interest in it. And it's it's usually a type of degree that's at more prestigious universities. They're the only people that are really going to get out of it. I mean, deGrasse Tyson he went to Texas Austin, Columbia University, Harvard. I mean, he went to some big prestigious universities.
Well, you got your glasses on today? Have you considered what you're going to wear? Heather, did you consider what you were going to wear today for the eclipse?
Not at all. Mm. Why?
Just saying, you could have had a better experience.
Ooh.
Yeah. Certain colors that you wear can enhance the effect of an eclipse. So in a normal daylight, your eyes use different cells of the retina to see colors clearly. These cells function under best bright light conditions, phototropic vision. But as it gets darker, it will, during the eclipse, your eyes will switch to rod cells, which are better for low light conditions. 4 or 5 minutes before totality is known is the mesopic vision zone, a liminal space, blah, blah, blah. Scientific word. The light levels in this zone fall enough to the cone cells in your eyes receive less stimulation. That leads to a decrease in the vibrancy or saturation of colors. For example, according to neutrals, black, gray, white, or brown, there's a no-go on eclipse day. Don't wear those at all. They will blend into the eclipse's shadow. That you should wear other colors like reds and greens. that'll actually look as like they're changing colors in your vision.
What's this supposed to, like, is this to attract someone else or just enjoy it yourself?
This guy is looking at a picture of a 2017 eclipse, August eclipse in Tennessee on a green field with people wearing summer clothes. I realize you need to have a color target to see this effect. He's referring to the Purkinje effect, the natural phenomenon of how you could perceive colors low light. Named for how you perceive colors in low light, named after a Czech physiologist that did. The effect is similar to how you observe garden flowers in the evening. Reds turn darker, almost black. Blues and greens get brighter. I'm surprised there wasn't some deep discussion about this before today. I'm in a black shirt today. I'm just going to blend. You're in a gray shirt. Going to blend right in.
I wore my alien shirt, though, so.
Some people claim that they do have effects around an eclipse before and after. Weird feelings, headaches, insomnia, a wonky menstrual cycle.
That's worrisome.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of trouble. Is there any, heightened sexuality during an eclipse? Will there be eclipse babies?
Oh, I'm sure. Just because people are weird.
A lot of people talking about the eclipse and also the full moon. This woman says, I'm just wiped. I'm wiped out. I'm feeling weird. Anyone else suffering from weird insomnia, no appetite, weird S that can't be explained? Someone told me the eclipse might have something to do with it, but I don't get how. What the F is going on? President Biden wants you to know that you're just a mere mortal, unlike Donald Trump, who can stare directly into, without any problem at all, right, into the eclipse without any effect. This is the message from the White House. Basically, don't be silly.
Folks, enjoy the eclipse, but play it safe. Don't be silly.
That's it. Folks, enjoy the eclipse, but play it safe. Don't be silly.
Not wear proper eye protection or just don't be silly.
Play it safe. Why didn't he get down? He didn't even say what it was.
Because he didn't know what it was for.
Just read this, Mr. President.
Folks,
play it safe. There will be a foul traffic nightmare. If you're in a cloudy area right now in the central Texas, I'd get a head start on it because then you're going to be doubly pissed. You didn't see the eclipse. Because of the clouds, you spent a couple of grand to drive the kids out there in March, and you rented a Howard Johnson's, and you've been there for a couple of days, and this is all what it's about. Now your kids are going to be crying. They're going to be pissed off. You're mad. Don't be silly, folks.
Play it safe.
Play it safe out there. They say all the way from Western New York to Central Texas is being compared to 20 or 30 Super Bowls happening at the same time. Kathy Hochul's very happy to have over 1 million people come to the state for this event, but they do say it's, treat this rare celestial happening as if it's one of the big storms when it comes to traffic safety. Pull your cars over the side of the road. You think a lot of people are just on the side of the road?
Yes, I do.
Just lines of cars on the shoulder. Yeah, Homeland Security in New York is advising you have yourself a plan. Have some water, have some food. Don't leave your car where it's not supposed to be. They will be ticketing and towing rapidly. Be careful. Remember that it's mud season as well. Those of you in the northern parts. Canadian side of Niagara Falls already declared a state of emergency. They think 1 million people are going to watch it from there.
Are we seeing anything yet? What's going on?
This seems a little cloudier.
20 minutes into it, or 15, 20 minutes into it, I don't see, I'm not impressed. I don't have any of those special glasses, so I got to poke a hole in a piece of paper. Or I think Heather brought a cereal box. What'd you bring, Heather, a cereal box?
I've got a cereal box and a couple colanders.
What are we supposed to do with a colander? Strain spaghetti?
Yes. I think I've seen it where it'll come through all the holes and it'll look like kind of like that tree picture that you posted from last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see that. Oh, okay.
I'm not positive, but I know the box works. I've already tried it out a few times.
What does it do? You just hold it.
You turn your back to the sun and you look in the hole in the bottom of the box and the sun shines through the hole on the top of the box and you can see the shape.
The old what brand of cereal is there in this box?
Aldi's, Millville.
Oh, so it doesn't work properly.
No, it works. Unless it's
you know one of the biggies. Thank you, Heather. We'll go out and look at the break. All kind of weird stuff is happening. Mount Etna in Italy is puffing out giant smoke rings. Will that freak you out?
Nah, I mean it's odd. I don't know when it all of a sudden got a hipster volcano.
It is. They're known as volcanic vortex rings, condensed gases, and water vapor. They form when the gases rise up from below the Earth, escape the crater. This is coming through a new pit crater on the north side of the southeast crater of Mount Etna, Sicily. I don't know. All the other stuff going on, but they're probably not going to get locusts over there. Cicada. We're going to get them here. And I saw some puffed up smoke rings coming out of the ground. I don't know what I might do about it. Yeah. So leave us a remark today. Leave us if you have an eclipse experience. If you're on the side of the road somewhere, if it's cloudy and your kids are crying, or you're stuck in traffic,
or if it somehow just changes your life drastically. If you feel some sort of spiritual awakening because you saw the moon block the sun for a little while.
It's all kind of TV coverage. They're at 100% in Torreon, Mexico, and like 90% at Lake Buchanan, Texas. We're supposed to get to 57% here. I went to one of these things. You type in your zip code, and it tells you the time and how much you'll see of it. And I said, I think 57 or 47% will be eclipsed. It's at the height of it. Yeah, use your phone's camera, too. Oh, it's starting in Austin. I try to text my daughter. She texted me some really good news, and I'm like, oh, great. Well, how about this? What about that? And then, which means she got great news. She let me know at least, and then she's out celebrating it.
Yeah, it's eclipse time.
Yeah, and hit the eclipse. And I bet she's, you know, they're doing something there.
Well, I'm sure, you know. Austin probably has some pretty good drink specials going on right now for the eclipse.
I'm sure.
Some sort of dark side of the moon shots.
I think a lot of people took sick days or their bosses let them off for a period of time. I'm sure every school in America within sight of it. Can you see it on both sides of it? You can see it from east of the west coast as well.
I hope there's some of those bosses just let the people stay home, though, if they did. Because, I mean, you imagine, I'm just at the point where we get one of these here in Central Florida and you got I-4 with it, I'm staying home.
If it was a total eclipse here, it'd be a nightmare.
I'm staying home.
Total nightmare. The talk in 2016, 2015, the wind up to that election from a lot of liberal people, or gay people, was that they were going to be put in a cage, or they were going to be put in a camp, or they were going to be re-educated. My gay friend the next day wrote somewhere, I think Facebook, that he had all of his blinds closed in his house, and he had to peer through the blinds to feel safe enough to go outside. Well, apparently.
Still, I mean, who gets that in their mind that the day after the election, what was he, they thought,
jackbooted thugs be rounding up gay people.
Immediately at that point, Trump just, without even the inauguration going through, he able had a call up like, hey, local police departments, go arrest all these gay people.
Let's get ahead of this, let's, you know, get out in front of this deal. Well, the same crap is coming from some black Americans. Jennifer Lewis is the star of the, I've never seen it, the sitcom called Black-ish.
I've heard of it. think it's on CBS or was on CBS.
I don't know. I don't watch normal, a regular, who watches, you know,
yeah,
that. In a radio show on Sirius XM, and then in a, she shared her views. Among other things, she says that Trump will do is take a hammer and break the glass case where the Constitution is and cancel it. Wait till you hear the rest of it. And yes, it does involve camps as well. We'll do it next. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition.
This lady, we are now accepting. Her name is Jennifer Lewis. She's 67 years old. And before I call her an idiot, I will say that for a 67-year-old woman, she looks really young. Anyway, I've never seen the show. Blackish. So, she was with Zerlina Maxwell on a Sirius XM show called Mornings with Zerlina. Never heard of it. She got angrier and angrier as the conversation went on, and then they turned to Trump, and that really, really got her mad. She said, this mother effer is Hitler. If he's reelected, he'll take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is and tear it up in our faces. And say, now I'm the king of the effing world. And then she tried to do a Trump voice and said, you will bow down, bitch. He will punish everybody that did not vote for him. Meanwhile, the co-host is grunting in approval. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what's gonna. She criticized people that are indifferent to voting. You can't sit on your couch. That's good advice. But she said that if Trump is reelected, as soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol. I don't know what that means.
I have no idea. People have just gotten they've got a caricature in their mind now of a person.
Yes. He will put black people in camps. And then she got angrier. And then she got angrier. And then she said he'll be vindictive. Because she recognizes his mental illness. She said, what I'm saying is the truth because I recognize Trump's mental illness. She does. She said, I know what mental illness looks like. After she just said Trump's going to put you in a camp, take a hammer, break this mother effer's Hitler, break the glass the Constitution is, tear it up in your face. And then say, declare he's the king of the world, and then you'll bow down, bitch. And he'll do something with the generals the moment he takes the oath, but that's all bucks. This is true because she knows that he's mentally ill because she knows mental illness.
Yeah, because she has one.
She said, that mother effer will have us in camps because we sat our fat asses on the couch. She said Trump's popularity is due to white Americans' fear of minorities. She assured white people that that minorities aren't coming after them, so there's no need to resort to extreme action. She said, quote, black people don't want to fight you. All we want to do is feed our children and be equal. Then she told the host, honey, white people are scared. They're becoming a minority. The world is brown.
Well, it's good to see this lady's a super racist.
And then she said, white people are going to do anything they can to punish minorities. She said, they're going to do everything they can to stay in those gated communities, not pay taxes, put those ends in their places, and get those wetbacks out of this country because now that we own this bitch. But I know mental illness.
Also, she's another black celebrity thinks that all white people live in gated communities and make $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they're afraid of they're going to, people are going to move into their neighborhood. She does understand that's like 1% of 1%, right?
Yes.
It's not, that is not the average American.
Then she got real graphic. She said, "We built this country for free while you raped us in your barns, while you whipped us, while you lynched us and cut babies out of our stomachs while we hung from effing trees." Wow. Whew. That's a lot of anger for a woman who, as a black woman, is doing quite well.
Yeah, quite successful.
Which would, I don't know, show that black women can be quite successful and admired and respected for their capabilities in America. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you, instead of inflaming a wild hatred on a man and white people in general, maybe you could help younger black women find a path to work in the arts. But no, you'd rather proclaim that Trump is going to put black people in camps.
Yes, the man who had 4 years to do that if he really wanted to.
Not only that, he had how many black people in his cabinet? Also, well, is he going to send Dr. Ben Carson to the camp too? Or is he to stay out because he's smart?
The man who put more funding to historically black universities than anybody else ever, including the black president that we had. But of course, he wants to put them all in camps now.
I sometimes, yeah, he was surrounded by them in his White House, and the HBCU people could come and celebrate him and pray, you know, lay their hands on him. But now he's going to turn and put the same people in the camp. All Martin Luther King's offspring and children, and they're sorry, doesn't get you. I mean, you're still going to the camp. Who's on the horn?
Jeff up in Wichita.
Oh, we'll talk to Jeff. Jeff, what's going on? Are you eclipse crazy up there?
Breaking news: there is darkness in Kansas. Who's at 11?
How dark is it? Are you going to get a total there?
No, we're not going to be total here. I'm down in southeast Kansas, in the corner of southeast Kansas. It's very cloudy in Oklahoma and Arkansas. So,
that's it. You're getting eclipse effects right now. You have a headache now? How's your menstrual cycle?
Oh my God! What is that coming from? Oh no, we won't talk about that. I'm on regular radio. I can't talk about that. But anyway, no, it's similar to when we burn pastures. It's pasture burning time up here in the Kansas area, and nobody's burning, and we have light clouds to the south. But it looks like when people burn pasture, it's that kind of haziness.
Oh, okay. So you can't actually. It's too cloudy to actually see it if you had the proper eyewear.
As soon as I stop here in the next 10 minutes at my delivery, I'm going to get out and use my phone to see where we're at for totality. But we're in the 90, we should be in 90% totality at the maximum.
We're going to get 57. I just stepped out with some, I guess the building here was passing out the proper glasses, and our boss got one for us all to share. We've been stepping out during the breaks. So I just looked at it. It was like 25% eclipse right now. It's pretty cool.
Very good. Very
all right.
Good.
If you start to feel faint,
have a good one.
If you start to feel faint, pull over for and rest. Sleep off the eclipse.
Thanks, Shannon.
All right, buddy. Anywho, you could be doing some good, but you choose to do some. You think? Let me ask you this: do you believe that this woman, an accomplished actress, really believes that Trump will put us? Is she trying to be just a little hyperbolic or metaphorically? Or are they going to metaphorically put black people in a camp?
I don't know. I think there's so often that the derangement syndrome is so high that I do think that they believe them. Just like you said, you had the friend that thought that they were going to come and bust down his door the day after the election. There's so many. They get in their brain. And it just festers in their mind that this is going to happen because that's what the mainstream media is telling them. Everybody and their friends are telling them, oh, my God, if he gets elected again, they're just going to start rounding people up.
I mean, that's really – it's dangerous to even say it.
It is. I mean, that's the type of thing when you talk about him and all his tweets, oh, that he's – he's riling people up. He's trying to get people fired up to create violence. No, those are the type of things that you're basically suggesting violence against a person because you are telling everybody around that he's the most dangerous man that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Right, and he's trying to fire up other men like the guy and guys in New York City that are punching random women in the face with their male rage fueled by MAGA. I don't know, but you know, if you said some crazy crap like that about a Democratic candidate and you're on a TV show and you're a white guy, would you keep your show?
No. I mean, if you were to go on MSNBC and go out there and be like, Joe Biden, if he's reelected again, he's going to just round up every white person. He's going to execute every third of them so he can just get the numbers back down.
Didn't Whoopi kind of allude to something like that? You know, he could just arrest all Republicans and put them into camps.
Yeah. He says there's
and forcefully trans all of them, make all the men into women and the men women into men.
You know, if he's going to go to every company and if their numbers aren't even across the board, if there's too many white people, he'll fire each and every one of them until they get the numbers so everything's equal. I mean, it's just insanity.
It is insanity, and it's coming from a 67-year-old woman who, I don't know.
I mean, you would hope would be fairly intelligent, would she's accomplished in her career, would have some sense on it.
She's using her popularity. I don't know if she has a big fan club or whatever. To instill the you know, she's I wonder if she's, you know, just part of a I don't know if it's even loose-knit group of celebrities or, you know, people that have some voice to say these crazy things so that, you know, you start to say these things enough and people start to think that it's true. I've had to put my bike in the shop this morning. I had some an issue, so I take it to my guy, PG, up in Longwood. So I had to call an Uber to get here. And my Uber, I get in, he's listening to Spanish talk radio. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know there was a Spanish talk radio. He goes, no, I'll get this on the internet. La, la, la. It's from Spain. I'm from Spain. We should start to talk. He talks about what a socialist asshole it's turning into. Then we start to talk about Brazil. What a crap hole. And then I showed him a picture of me and Donald Trump, and he about fell out of his chair. He's like, oh, no, you and me, Donald Trump. And he told me the story. He met DeSantis. He's a super nice guy. He goes, you're conservative, right? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, good. But he mentioned how horrible it is for his friends that live in Spain and in Brazil. And in Brazil, the sweeping crackdown on free speech in Brazil is frightening under Lula. And Elon Musk said on the platform Saturday, the company decided to lift all restrictions on Brazilian accounts targeted by an order from the nation's Supreme Court. The nation's Supreme Court there has become exactly what Democrats are having erections over what they'd like to do to our Supreme Court. Matter of fact, they're working on a legislation right now to bump it so they go and own the Supreme Court. So the judge applied a bunch of fines, threatened to arrest their employees in Brazil, cut off access to X in all Brazil. And if you don't take down these prominent conservative voices and remove some tweets that were up there, they wanted just removed altogether. And so he limited, Geo limited the access to that meme. I forget what it was. Do you remember what it was?
No, I
some
didn't.
Some anti-Lula thing. And then restricted the accounts that the Supreme Court judge told them to restrict. But he's had a change of heart. He said, we're lifting all restrictions. The judge has applied massive fines, threatened to arrest our employees, cut off our access to X in Brazil. As a result, we will probably lose all revenue in Brazil and have to shut down our office there. But principles matter more than profit. When's the last time you heard a man of his of his capabilities and, you know, and his resources say that principles matter more than profit?
Well, I think he also just directly called a bluff to them too, and said, "All right, that's the case. We'll shut down Twitter." Just imagine X being shut down on entire country now, no longer able to communicate on a social media app.
I don't know. I'm sure it's a lot of people in Brazil and have one of their biggest social media apps just, you know, go away. I'm sure many Brazilians make a living using Twitter. He wanted him to take down Michael Schellenberger. They're reporting that they're investigating Michael Schellenberger and his colleagues in Brazil, David Agape and Eli Vieira, because either they are releasing or they will soon release the Twitter Files Brazil version. Schellenberger cites the records released by X after his takeover that Brazil is engaged in sweeping crackdown on free speech led by a Supreme Court justice there. And the sitting members of Brazil's Congress, a bunch of journalists, were among those named by Brazil's highest courts for censoring. Schellenberger found that. He said he named lower house members, a former president, Jair Bolsonaro, his liberal party, Marcel Van Hatten, and the Novo Party, all these other targets for all deemed misinformation, and he wanted them all removed. That's like out in the open what we were doing. Well, I mean, you know, what our government was doing. He wanted a bunch of people deplatformed that were responsible for specific posts that he wanted censored without giving users any right of appeal or even the right to see the evidence presented against them. And Elon said, coming soon, Elon will publish everything demanded by Alexandre and how those requests violate Brazilian law. He said the judge has brazenly, repeatedly betrayed the Constitution and the people of Brazil, and he should resign or be impeached. That'd be something else if some social media platform could have a positive change, you know, in an election like that, or you know, with the impeachment of a corrupt president. Last year, Justice de Morales also ordered an investigation into the executives at Twitter or at Telegram as well. That were in charge of campaign criticizing a proposed internet regulation bill. And all their findings, and Schellenberger's look like this aggressive type of censorship actually is a blatant violation of Brazilian law. What's a blatant violation of American law, too?
Yeah.
I don't know. You think X is powerful enough to make a difference like that?
Yes, I do. I do think because it is the social media companies right now have that ability and that power that is terrifying and also lustful to governments. They love what they've created, what's been created there, because it is a way to assemble masses real quickly. And yeah. They don't want to lose that. That's why they're trying to bully and enforce and do this and do that. Why they're so intent on keeping TikTok running. They're so intent on do all these things because they know if they lose control of that, they lose control of the voice. And the voice is very powerful right now.
But if there's one social media platform out there, I'm referring to X, if there's one out there that is more targeted for this reason. Except for maybe the issue they had with Google's, what's the name of it? Well, there it is. Alphabet's or Google's something going on that they criticized them about. You don't hear Facebook have a problem with, you don't hear. I mean,
even the times that they've had problems with it, a lot of times the governments have backed out of it. Oh, the making you can't put news on Facebook without you know paying.
In Canada.
And you know, okay, Facebook said, okay, we're done, we're out of here, and now they've been panicking since then.
Yeah, because the news people aren't getting the hits. Yeah. The companies aren't getting the hits they need. You know, it's almost like you could pocketbook people into going back to just telling the truth. You know what I mean? Like you could hurt them financially enough to allow real news. That's all Canada was about, allowing real news, allowing, you know, they don't want people to, you know, slowly cutting people off from news from other Western countries is pretty dangerous.
We may be having some Eclipse problems right now currently, too.
Are we? What do you mean?
Apparently, the app is currently down right now. So
really? Is it Eclipse related?
I don't know.
Heather, what's the word out there? We're having Eclipse problems?
Yep. The world's melting down.
Hello? Tokyo? How could an eclipse have an effect on communications?
I mean,
there's nothing magnetic about it.
Odd that it did that time period.
It's,
yeah.
It's blocking out any sun flares that would flare, you know, down here. We're shaded from that.
What can I say? I mean, it's an odd timing for everything to go down like that.
It's getting darker here. Not too dark. My wife said the lighting outside is different. I'm not sure how to explain it.
Is it almost like the moon's blocking the sun a little bit?
Yeah. Do we know that it's is this app down?
I'm getting multiple texts that the app is down. So maybe the guy that keeps our app running on the treadmill, he walked out to go check.
Oh,
the
that's what it is. Yeah.
We got to get him back on there and power back up again.
Well, I'm sure we'll have it in control soon. What is Dr. Phil doing these days?
I think he just does like talks and things like that. Gets paid to come to places.
I mean, he brought on guests, some Palestinian students, activists from University of Michigan, and Mossab Hassan Youssef, the son of Hamas's founder, Sheikh Hassan Youssef, who's, you know, totally done a 180 on that. And he's like, they hashed it out. I mean, that's not like the old Dr. Phil, you know, he used to be, you toss him to the curb, you know, talk about relationships and.
I mean, he was a master talking things through. So maybe we're sending the wrong people. Maybe it should just be Dr. Phil heading over there.
I'm going to share the audio. When we return, because the ladies that were on there, I guess they're of Palestinian descent. They were students at University of Michigan. I'm sure they live here. Dearborn is like the Jihad Central of America. When he was speaking the truth, like things like, you know, the majority of Palestinians support Hamas. They're like, their eyes just like, how, why, not, why? But Dr. Phil even lights into them. It happened in April. Oh, they filmed it in April, and I saw bits of it. But you know, I'm if you see Dr. Phil, I hate to say this, and he's talking to some people, you usually think that it's fluff. You know what I mean? But it's not fluff in this case. Also, I have the protesters in Dearborn. We got together. They closed out Ramadan by, they live here, by the way, in America, by chanting death to America. So, you know, and death to Israel as well.
Yeah.
Should it be? Well,
call it the worst country they've ever lived in, too, which is just hilarious. I don't know.
They said it's the worst country they've ever lived in?
Yeah. Just like, you guys, we can get you. I'll pay a plane ticket for you.
All these Somalian refugees that settled in Dearborn, Michigan. They got, this is terrible here. Water's clean. The International Day of Al-Quds. It's troubling. And I think maybe it looks as though that the IDF has pulled out of Gaza. For now, anyway. We'll do that when we return. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burr Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I guess it's blown through Dallas, and Texas. My family, Texas, blown up. They said it was phenomenal.
Now, life changing.
I don't know about life changing. So these are some activists in Dearborn, here in the United States of America. Dearborn is the heaviest Muslim populated, it's Jihad Central. So they thought they'd get together and mark the end of Ramadan by chanting death to the very country that allows them to chant death to us.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Death to America.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
This guy sounds a little angry. Then so the guys in the crowd start chanting "Death to Israel." I don't understand. Those are people that definitely have not assimilated into America.
And what's amazing is those are people that begged and pleaded and cried for America to bring them over as refugees.
Yeah.
Because the country they were living in was an asshole.
Yep.
And they couldn't eat. We couldn't be fed. We needed water. We needed all this. As soon as they got here and you got some money in you and you can eat some McDonald's, boy, you change your opinion real quick.
We hate this place. Oh, you mean loving the... Well, of course. Yeah, I mean, no, I've never heard community pipe up about Israel, you know, since October 7th, since this whole thing started. I don't know that there are a lot of countries out there that will let you just shout death to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the great part about this country is the fact that you could organize and shout death to the country or death to the leader of it and not have 50 guys show up with guns and shoot you all down just for the fun of it. But no, you're living in the worst place you've ever lived in before.
Do they say that in this chant?
I don't know if it's I know read it from one of the other articles they're talking about too. Yeah,
evil settler colonialist project. He realized it is a cancer, and he established this day. Israel, before this, brothers and sisters, was a sacred cow. Nobody could criticize Israel. Everybody was terrified of being anti-Semitic. Everybody was afraid of them. But now, the people of conscience very openly will criticize Israel. They recognize Israel for what it is. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis. They are fascists. They are racist. The people of the world now know this.
200,000. I saw 200,000 Israeli Arabs gather for the end of Ramadan in this evil apartheid state. It's racist. 2 million Arab Israelis live in Israel. I don't know. Let me get this. These two dumb broads on the Dr. Phil thing, because this guy really lets them have it. Here's, they call him son of Hamas, Mossab Hassan Youssef.
Since October 7, I personally don't differentiate between Hamas and what's so-called Palestinians, because actually there is no Palestinians. There are... tribes. There is a tribe of Hamas, and there is a tribe of the Islamic Jihad, and there is a tribe of Khalil, and there is a tribe of Nablus, and each one has different interests, and all of them are conflicted. If they did not have Israel as the common enemy, they would kill each other. This is the reality of what's so-called Palestine. You don't know what Palestine is. Actually, in fact, the kefiya that you are wearing, this is just a statement to show that you really lack the authenticity to represent the case. And what's so-called the cause, you know, this is a human problem.
So you just...
The cause must die. I think enough is enough. And now it's proven, and you are helping Hamas to prove it to the world that Palestine depends on the destruction of the state of Israel. And this is not acceptable, and we are not going to agree to it. And I tell you something, for the next 10 or 20 years, the Palestinian people will pay the bill that Hamas is caused today, and most likely in blood.
To you, Hamas and Palestinians are the same. They're one and the same.
After October 7, yes, there is no difference.
Really?
The vast majority of the Palestinian people support Hamas.
Really?
This is a fact. This is
just kids would go to school at University of Michigan. Meanwhile, this guy kind of knows what's going on. He's got an inside scoop.
This is proven by statistics and your silence now. You cannot even condemn Hamas and say that what they did on October 7 was an act of a savage group. You don't have that power.
Said I condemn.
On what authority do you speak? You only speak on the authority of Hamas propaganda.
No, why do you say that I'm speaking on the authority of Hamas propaganda?
Because if you were a decent human being, you can say that the thousands were killed on October 7. That was a crime against humanity. It was a genocide.
She can't believe it. What? That's not the genocide I'm talking about. I'm talking about what? I don't know how you, how you argue or refute anything this guy has to say.
Yeah, a guy that actually knows what he's talking about because he's been there before.
Lived it. Literally lived it. Yeah, they say IDF is halt at all. Everything, with withdrawn troops out of southern Gaza. Does that mean they're waiting on, are there any, I mean...
The update I last saw was that they had really good in-depth talks in Egypt, so they were on the last stages of having a possible ceasefire. So I don't know if that involves getting all the hostages back or what that determines. You would think that I would have a hard time saying that they're going to completely ceasefire with no hostage returns, other than maybe a temporary, like you got 15 days to get them back to us, or we go back right back to it.
Yeah, it has to involve return of hostages. I don't see how I can't. Do you think this has anything to do with Biden's pressure on him, or does it have anything to do with the mistaken killing of the humanitarian aid workers?
Oh, I mean, that's exactly what it, the only reason that's even slowed down is because of those humanitarian workers.
Well, they're still keeping Gaza split. They're keeping northern and central Gaza cut off from the south because apparently that's still where whoever's got whatever Hamas is still around is there. So we'll see. And then what? And then what are the activists? What are they angry about then?
They're angry that they haven't gone in there and
rebuilt
it up perfectly to create some sort of utopia for the Palestinians to live in that's advanced by 2,000 years. And
Columbia University has suspended indefinitely four students that participated in an unsanctioned campus talk. You got to run this by people. You don't want to invite a speaker. They make sure that's a legitimate person and some kind of, they invited a guy who was, had ties to a group designated a terrorist organization by the United States, to the event. It's called Resistance 101. Palestinian activist Khalid Barakat appeared by video to discuss Gaza conflict that erupted in the aftermath of the attack. Students identified as participants in the meeting were dismissed from campus, from housing too, given 24 hours to vacate. Barakat, who has been accused of being a member of the Front for the Liberation of Palestine, talked about speaking with his friends and brothers in Hamas, in Islamic Jihad, and in the whatever the PFLP is. And how excited they are to see American groups and students in America protesting on their behalf. Because they don't care about what Biden or Kamala says. What they're focused on is actually stop the Israeli aggression and defeat Israel. When they see the students organizing, they really feel that they are being backed as a resistance and they're being supported. This gives every liberal student on campus a boner to know that somewhere Hamas knows of their efforts and they're happy for them. Now they're really part of the resistance.
Where did I want to say it might have been extra that Dr. Phil, because I think it came from that same son of Hamas where he talked about that he laughs at all those people that feel that way.
He said they needed to be in mental institutions.
Yeah, he said that. He's like, you guys do know that they're laughing at you over there, right? There's the same people that would drag you behind a truck and have you dead because you're an American. They don't care one bit that you're over there applauding how good they're doing.
Hell no. The president of the Columbia, they conducted an investigation into the meeting using an outside firm. President Shafiq said they charged the four students found who participated in the event with violating campus policies, endangerment, disruptive behavior, and other charges. This was an event at a campus residential facility the university had already barred twice from occurring. It featured speakers that are known to support terrorism and promote violence. I want to state for the record, this event is an abhorrent breach of our values. Yeah, you got to nip this in the bud, dude. You bring these people on and God forbid, a Jewish student in Columbia run into some difficulty.
Shows you how clown show that university campuses have become, where you bring Riley Gaines on there, a woman that wants to talk about having women in women's sports, and you berate her, and she has to be taken away by police because you guys are threatening her, but you invited a terrorist, and everybody had a good time.
Yeah, I felt great about it. Wow. Good. Heather?
Hello.
Do we have...
We got some good ones.
Do you have answers? That's the real question, Heather.
That's debatable, but we'll try.
Let's go.
Hey, guys. On Fridays, Heather has answers. You were talking about rich people problems. I ain't rich, but I do have a rich person problem. Names have been changed to protect the spoiled. Backstory, my brother was murdered in a robbery when my niece, Jenny, was 16. The case is still open. Her mother is worthless, so Jenny came to live with me throughout the last years of high school and through college. She's the closest I will ever have to a child of my own. When Jenny got engaged, I paid for the wedding, the honeymoon, and the down payment for the house. It might seem extravagant, but I made very, very good money at the time. I am retired now. My other niece, Olivia, has gotten engaged and has expectations that her parents will not be able to fulfill. Their jobs don't pay well, and they have two other children in college. Olivia and her fiancé have creative careers and no savings. Apparently, I entered into an unwitting family contract where I'm obligated to equally spend on Olivia what I did Jenny. Olivia and her fiancé actually made this argument to me. Olivia told me it wasn't fair otherwise. I told Olivia I would pay for her to see a therapist or a priest because there was something wrong with her soul. She might be several years younger than Jenny, but is an educated adult woman, and envying her orphan cousin is morally repugnant. Olivia got offended and went crying to the rest of the family. Most of them are mortified, but my brother-in-law has always been wrapped around Olivia's little finger. He argued with me, and I told him to take out a loan if his baby's dream wedding is worth it. He has cut off contact with me and the rest of the family. My sister has sent me one text with the word sorry. She's always followed her husband's lead during their marriage. Her other children have been instructed not to talk to me. This discord wounds me. My sister and I lost our parents young, another sibling to suicide, and then our brother. We have extended family, but the tragedy holds tight. Jenny has been having anxiety attacks over all this drama, and part of me hates Olivia for putting us through this, but what can I do? Bo in Orlando. He's a really nice guy. Only wanted a kid.
Right.
Got to take care of his brother's kid.
And he brought her in and she kind of lived as his daughter.
Right.
And then now her sister, younger cousin comes along who didn't have her father murdered.
No, and is one of three children. Still has a family.
Yeah.
Still has parents that can probably take care of her. I'm just guessing.
I get this guy's frustration. I'm with him. You know, doesn't he bring that up? That, you know, she lost her father who's murdered, and when she was just a kid,
and he raised her. Right. I mean, she was 16 when that happened, so he probably only had, you know, 5 or 10 years with her living as a, like, surrogate child to him. And he was taking care of her because there was nobody else to take care of her.
Well, I think he is in the right, and he shouldn't feel bad at all.
He shouldn't feel bad at all. Nobody is entitled to anything.
Yeah, no one just automatically
tell you how to use your money.
Right, and this guy's supposed to pay for every girl's wedding in his family
and down payment on a house, which is kind of extravagant. But he wanted to do that.
Yeah, I think he's in the, you know, that's something he wanted to do. No one made it a family policy that old Uncle Bo pays for everything and gives you a house. And, you know, that's not the thing. He did that for the girl that he raised as his daughter once her father was murdered.
It was really generous and caring and loving and all the good words for him.
Yeah. And the situation was different. He was working, making good money. Now he's a retired guy. And, yeah, I think that's cruel of, was this his brother-in-law called? And
yes. So it's his sister's husband. So him and his sister are still okay, but it's her husband.
And it's their kid?
And their kids.
Okay, it's their kid that's not getting paid for?
One of their three kids, yes. That are, I just
wow.
can't believe people are like this.
He called and said it wasn't fair?
Olivia told me it wasn't fair. Olivia is the cousin that wants everything paid for.
Well, you know,
she should go to her daddy.
I would explain it like this. Look, typically the parents of the bride pick up the cost. You know, that's the way it goes. And he was in the position of technically being, I'm sure he had, you know, whatever you call it, a power of attorney or whatever. He was her
guardian.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. Now it's your dad's turn. The one who happens to be very angry with me because I won't pay for it. Why don't you ask him why he won't pay for it?
Such a weird situation. I can't even imagine anybody getting mad about all that. Like, it's so weird. It's not your place. Don't step into his money. It's not yours.
Right. Yeah, he's in the right. And I think people will come around once they realize they're just being greedy. And
they need to be called out.
Yes. Call them out. Got another one?
Yes, I do. Okay, this is a UCF student. I'm a college student at UCF, and I've been going through a weird mental state for a while now. Ever since I did deep research into life after death, I've realized that the most realistic answer is nothing. And now I can't convince myself otherwise. Time goes so oddly fast for me. I feel like I'm in one moment and I teleport to the next, and it's constantly in my head that our time is ticking. I'm not scared of being nothing, whatever, but I'm always thinking about my boyfriend or my sister and how one day I'll let it all go in the happiest moment of my life, thinking I can't keep any of this. Everything feels pointless to me, and I don't want people to feel the same way I do, especially my sister. So I've convinced the people around me that I'm religious and I've been influenced by religion. This mental state hits harder when I'm stoned and I've been smoking less. But even when I don't smoke, I still feel high, like unreal. These common thoughts lead to unreal feeling, and I feel like I'm watching a movie, like I'm watching my life go down and knowing that in a blink of an eye, everything will be gone. What is going on with me? Catherine at UCF.
Wow.
She sounds like she was high writing that.
I don't know why she's come to the decision that when she passes away, this boom, just everything goes black and there's nothing else there. I don't believe in that at all. Plus, it's, you know, it's not one of those things that's like not up for discussion. You know what I mean? Does all this, the science is settled. You just go, you know, it's the science is actually, or at least the whatever kind of science you want to call it, is that there is something else, dimensional or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, she's in a weird spot that she may want to actually do some research into what she actually is talking about. Where she's just telling everybody, oh, it's a spiritual thing. Okay, well, if that's the case, maybe it is a time for you to do a little bit of a deep dive into a spiritual thing.
And
go talk to a rabbi. Go talk to a priest. Go talk to...
attend a church service.
Go to, you know, go to an Islamic service. Go, maybe you're missing that. Or maybe it's time for you to go on an ayahuasca trip and get the shaman to realign your chakras and get something's off.
In the meantime, I lay back on the weed a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
If it's intensifying it. But
I think she's in a very normal spot for college kids.
Yeah. They
all wonder their direction in life and what they're doing here and where they're supposed to go. And she's
what's
just
your
going
purpose
too far about
this. Online? She's in college. My God, she's got
Get a hobby.
So much ahead of her. You know, why worry about the very end of your life when you've got, you know, 90% of it to go?
Get it. Like, get a hobby. Start knitting or collecting baseball cards or something. Take your mind off it. You got to find something to realign yourself. I think this is a person that maybe they don't have enough stuff going on, that they have too much time to think about these existential questions that are just burning into their mind that you may need to get.
And here's something. Talk to someone. There has to be some resources at UCF that where you can get go see a counselor or a therapist or something like that. Yeah, they'll set your mind straight. Oh, that'll call me. I've got a number of very good therapists, but I don't want to give her to you because she's pretty busy these days. I'm gonna be able to see her once a month, so I don't explode. I think you're college aged and. You know, you're like, what is it all about? Did she say anything when she's studying there?
No.
It'd be nice to know. Maybe I can redirect her career into a different path.
Maybe it's philosophy.
I think she just needs something to take her mind off it. I think she's spending too much time smoking and staring up at the stars and trying to find her place in the universe. Pick up college football recruiting or something like that. Start learning 40 times of high school players or something. Just something to take your mind off of things.
Yeah.
What is her name?
Catherine.
Catherine. Good it's going to be okay. Good luck to you.
It only gets worse from here. So
yeah,
really.
If you're, if this bad in your 20s, oh my God, wait till your 40s, you know, 30s and 40s hit. Then you're really in for a treat. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. We do it once a day at the same time. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Those are good ones. Yeah, Bo, you don't need to pay for anything. Tell everybody they can kiss your old ass.
Yeah, just
enjoy your retirement.
Never understood that one when you get people that are come in there just like, well, you did it for them. You're supposed to do it for me.
Right.
Really? No, it doesn't work that way.
Not the way it works. All right. When we return, it's time for... Wow. My family's blowing up about this damn 28 family texts in my phone. Oh, my God. Eclipse.
The moon has crossed in front of the path of the sun. It's darkness.
It's unusual. All right. When we return, I'm going to play some audio of if you ever want to... You know, feel good about a DEI hire, like, say, in a cockpit of an airplane. Wait until you hear this woman who scared 20 people off her plane that she was the pilot of. And that $30 million L.A. heist on Easter, they're saying it may never be solved. There's not a single clue in any direction. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Play this audio. I'll set it up. A female pilot gets on the plane. She's a little late. She's still in her street clothes, not in her pilot uniform. And then she kind of goes into a meltdown. Here's the highlights.
Okay, if you don't feel safe, get off the airplane.
But this is your captain speaking, okay. But never like this.
Said, I'll stop, and we'll fly the airplane. Don't worry, I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it. He's a man. Okay?
It's a total meltdown. The pilot boarded in her street clothes and addressed the passengers over the intercom. Passenger Pam O'Neill couldn't believe what was happening.
She said, let's take a vote. How many of you would like to take off now with me dressed as I am, or would you prefer that I take 10 minutes to get changed into my cute little uniform? Then she started talking about her divorce and political candidates, and the minute she mentioned that, a gentleman stood up and just yelled, whoa.
I mean, if the pilot started to talk about her divorce and then the dip into political candidates, and I'm immediately concerned about her mental condition.
And you also showed up 10 minutes late. I'm not flying on that. This lady's going to throw this sucker into the ground is my feeling.
Yeah.
Enough. You're scaring me.
Another passenger, Randy Reese, got up to leave and gave a running commentary on social media. Pilot also insulted a couple on board.
Did I offend you? Okay, so did I purposely offend you? I did. The answer is yes. Flight attendants, please disarm doors.
After 20 passengers insisted on getting off the United Airlines flight, the pilot quietly left the aircraft.
Okay, if you don't feel safe, get off the airplane.
Wow. If you don't feel safe, get off the airplane. Well, she did a whole lot for female pilots, didn't she?
Yeah, I mean, just someone's having a bad day, and if you come out there and start immediately just going nuts on there, I'm going to get off the plane.
What was that flight where the guy did it? They investigated and found that he ditched a plane on purpose full of people.
It was one of the ones over in Southeast Asia.
Mm. Yeah. Why would you even have a conversation at all about any of it? If you're late, just go into the cockpit and start flying the plane and get it. Let's get us out of here.
Yeah. That's all you got to do is go in there. Be like, I apologize. I got held up in some traffic. We're going to get you going. We're going to have a great flight. We'll be in.
Maybe I'll buy a round for the house.
Yeah. We'll be in Fort Worth in, 1 hour and 25 minutes with depending on the headwinds, you know.
And. You know, I don't care what you wear. I mean, I'm sure United Airlines will have something to say about it, that you came out of uniform. Maybe you get in trouble. I wonder what United Airlines will do in response to this. They had enough trouble lately.
Well, I mean, if 20 people got off the flight and immediately demanded to be put on another flight or a refund or something like that, I'm sure she's feeling it today.
Man. Have you seen the video that Southwest Airlines flight with a 737-800.
But with the flap, just the engine flap just flipping in the wind.
Yeah. People on a Houston-bound Southwest Airlines flight watched as the engine on the 737-8 appeared to come apart mid-flight. The flight immediately returned to Denver to crew members notice a removal sheet of metal covering one of the plane's engines had sheared off during takeoff. You could see it out the window, whipping in the breeze. Some passengers on the plane see it. You're there, you know, the stewardesses aren't looking out the windows all the time. And they called, hey, is this normal? You might want to take a look at this over here. I'm not trying to bother you, but this doesn't look right.
There's a gremlin on the wings.
I see a man out there. They apologize. They did an immediate round, turnaround, returned to Denver after 25 minutes in the air. This is yet another. Is it 737-9 Max is the bad one, or this is the 737-800? I don't know. It's the 9 Max that lost the door mid flight. And they've lost a criminal probe into that incident.
I mean, at this point, was this always going on? Or are we in some sort of confirmation bias right now where we're just getting reports every day? Or is something really going bad?
Here's what it sounded like in communication with the tower.
Let's go ahead and declare an emergency for Southwest 3695. And we'd like an immediate return. We got a piece of the engine cowling hanging off, apparently.
Southwest 3695, roger that. Turn left heading 190, clear to Denver via radar vectors.
Left turn heading 190, Southwest 3695.
I'm watching this video. It's horrifying. If you're on that plane, how do you even explain that? There's a little bit of a mechanical issue, folks. Don't be alarmed.
That happens all the time. You guys just happen to notice it this time.
Morgan Wallace. Wow, this guy doesn't need any trouble. You know, he bounced back from an unfortunate attempt to cancel him over the use of the N-word. And his offense did have the A on the end. Well, I don't know if that's as offensive.
He didn't go hard R.
No. He was up on in Nashville on Broadway on the 6th floor rooftop bar of Eric Church's Chiefs Bar, where he decided it'd be a good idea to grab a chair and throw it over the edge. Unfortunately for Morgan Wallen, this chair landed a few feet from some cops that were on the ground there, and they got him. Apparently, he's got like multiple felony charges. Had a bond of $15,250. They let him out a few hours after being arrested. Had it not fallen near those cops, or they not been there at all,
he probably wouldn't have. I mean, did someone else call the police, or is it only because those cops happened to be down there that they came up there and arrested him?
Do those cops know he's Morgan Wallen by looking at him?
I mean, I'm sure when they asked for his ID or the fact there was a bunch of people around, I mean, they could. It's Nashville. I'm sure there's a good chance that those cops knew who Morgan Wallen was.
Yeah, I'm sure people at the bar knew who he was. He said he was allegedly laughing after the fact. There's video of him putting in the car, and
yeah, Morgan has some problems with some alcohol. That's got him in trouble before.
Don't most country singers have, you know, do some drinking? I would expect for them to.
You have to, otherwise you can't write your songs.
Just like Coltrane needed heroin, Morgan Wallen needs some whiskey.
I mean, most of his songs are about drinking whiskey, so.
Are they really?
Yeah.
They say that $30 million L.A. heist may never be solved. They said this group was performed a flawless robbery, and they're world-class, they say, top-notch criminals. They compared it to the other. There was apparently a big heist that was jewels. It was they nabbed a truck after a gem show. That was 2 years ago. They made off with $100 million in jewels and other valuables from an armored big rig that was traveling back from a gem show. Never remains unsolved. So this case, it's very possible it will go unsolved. The level of skill that was involved in it, and the fact that it's already there's been no compelling leads at all. But they do say that, by the way, $30 million in $100 bills weighs some 660 pounds. And it's totally it's not like some, they don't know the serial numbers on these bills are not brand new. They've all been circulated, and no problem spending it.
I'm sure they're saying that. Like, hey, guys, spend a lot of money. You ever thought about buying an island?
Man, that makes the life of crime tempting. But, you know, you got to have some chops, right? You got to have some experience.
I mean, how do you get into an international, reading like this?
How do you even know where this place is? It's very nondescript. How do you know, you didn't set off a single alarm. You got into a safe, which is, enough of a safe to hold $30 million.
Also, terrible security system at this place if they were able to punch out a wall and it didn't set off an alarm.
Yeah.
I think they cut out the power from that area, though.
They had to have.
Oh, you think they did the old
cellular jammer to jam the cell signal?
No, you think they actually had the guys in the overalls up on the top of the up on the pole doing cutting it down, so they can radio down to the guys like the power is off.
Oh, by the way, if you have trouble, you're probably not listening now, but let your friends know the Fort Walton Beach side of the app is working. I just got that news. Should we check out our remarks?
Sure.
We got a lot of them from the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Lots of archives there. And a way you can communicate with us, just hit the little microphone button at the bottom, and we're off to the races. Here we go.
Breaking news, it's getting darker outside, and I've just begun my period unexpectedly. News at 11.
Every Shannon, every it's 2:13, every up here in Nantucket, and every it has begun. Not the eclipse, area, but the process of getting blackout drunk for the eclipse. Woo! It's going to get darker than Wesley Snipes in Harlem at midnight. Oh. Dear God, I hope this doesn't affect my menstrual cycle. I've got eclipse fever.
You think people are throwing parties and getting hammered?
Oh, yeah.
DUI is up tonight?
Well, I mean, it's going to be difficult to drive anywhere.
Oh, yeah,
so.
That's true.
News break. Solar eclipse has major effect on all electrical vehicles. We have thousands and thousands of electric vehicles coming to see the eclipse, and they are now dead on the road.
Right. It was only eclipse for 4 minutes. So.
Okay, so I heard on TikTok, in order to make the eclipse last longer, you can see it longer by just looking right at it with no glasses, and then you'll see it for the next several hours.
You'll see it for the rest of your life.
Good chance of that, too, yeah.
Okay, wait for it. How does the moon cut his hair?
He clips it.
He clips it.
Oh, man. Oh, Jokey Jay's right now.
He's
going,
pissed. Son of a bitch. He was going to drop that one in the second hour. And just,
Donald Trump's first days in office is to uphold the Constitution and fix what Abraham Lincoln made a mistake by doing, giving them a choice. Everybody will be getting vacated and back to their mother countries. Whether they came over on a boat in 1600 or in 20,020, they're all getting the hell out.
All right. So I don't know if it's as crazy as that actress.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this stuff is getting really scary. These mainstream media hosts, especially the black ones, a lot of these black people in their audience don't know anything different. They don't know not to believe this stuff. And all these illegals that are here, they just go on what the Democrats tell them. I'm just afraid that these people are thinking they've got to stop Trump from winning by any means possible. And we may see some stuff that makes the Black Lives Matter riots after George Floyd look tame.
Remember when Don Lemon said this?
Something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they had the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that? So and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, up to the right.
He married a white guy over the weekend.
So he joins a list of other radicals that have come out and said the white men are the most dangerous thing out there and then immediately married a white guy.
Yeah. I'm going to skip the ones that talk about our app. We know the app. We know the situation.
Oh, my, that eclipse. It's melting the cheese on the moon. The earth's dripping. It's going to be a cheese sandwich. Stop. Oh, no.
That's the second lift. Joke off of Jokey Jay's list. Scratched.
He's just furiously scratching them off.
Hey, I'm pretty sure somebody in Dearborn has hijacked my app because it's not working appropriately at all.
Use the Fort Walton side.
Emerald. It says Emerald Coast in there.
Emerald Coast. Sorry, yeah.
Well, normally I'd say if you've seen one eclipse, you've seen them all. But with the National Guard being deployed and all this stuff, the CERN collider being turned on, the LOCUS, after today, after that collider, look out for some Mandela effects going on. We're going to be in a different timeline, folks.
When is this thing, the CERN get fired up? Today?
It probably already has been fired up by now.
You know Ray Liotta's smiling and laughing up above in the shower, slapping the wall. About the heist in Los Angeles, the one you're getting ready to mention soon. And you also know that he had something to do with it. Just saying. Beater, beater.
He's dead. That was the Lufthansa heist they're talking about.
Howdy, guys. Nate Vegas from California. You're talking about that female pilot that went crazy. There's no way I'm going to stay on a flight and go through the air 30,000 feet up with a woman that's having some menstrual rage. And on a side note, the only reason PMS got named PMS is because mad cow disease was already taken.
All right. That's not very nice, sir.
Hey, guys, great show. I guess about the Morgan Wallen story. I guess last night he let the liquor talk.
Is that a hit, Morgan Wallen's
song? Yes, it is.
Todd Daytona, I made it home early. I'm looking at this thing through my pinhole camera, and I don't see what the big deal is.
I get it.
Well, I've got a 1993 Eclipse, and it's totaled. So I guess that's the same thing, all right? I guess it's time to go back to work. All right, see y'all later. Bye.
I think the media cover this thing soup to nuts all the way. I mean, we have Fox on in here right now, and they had someone in every major city.
Wearing the stupid glasses.
If they weren't at that city, they're still running. Here's what it looks like in Carbondale, Illinois, live right now. I guess it deserves that kind of coverage. It's once in a lifetime for many people.
Tom, but, I don't know if you've seen it. We saw the footage down in Austin, Texas of it covering the sun, but here in Carbondale, Illinois, it's also covering the sun.
What's going on there in Carbondale, Illinois? Well, a moon passing in front of the sun between the Earth and the sun, causing an eclipse similar to the one that you've been reporting on since this morning.
I, too, have my glasses.
Don't look at it without the proper eyewear. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's over. Maybe if you watched it from your home, you're in good shape. My papa watched it from his deck. He thought it was amazing. But he didn't have to get back into a car and drive,
That's the people that drove the there.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw people on my Facebook. They were like leaving from Tennessee to go drive over there.
To get to
one of the spots in the path. And just, why? Why do you hate yourself? Because even if you get to an area that you're like, okay, well, it's in between two major cities. We're in like Podunk, Illinois somewhere. It's in the path of totality.
But those people are no. Over there, that's only going to be a 90% coverage. We need totality, 100%. We got to be in that area.
But you can still get into totality in there, in the middle of nowhere spots in there.
Right.
But what you get there and then you go, okay, we saw it. Now, all right, let's get back on our road to, oh, by the way, everybody else from all those other places that were in Podunk, wherever, is trying to get back on the main highway to get back home.
30 Super Bowls just let out. Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
That's going to be the real story, I think.
How many shootings there were in road rage over there.
Incredible accidents and just cars for miles and miles, bumper to bumper, Carmageddon. All right, we're getting dark when we return?
Yeah, actually quite dark.
Quite dark.
There seems to be a weird correlation. You know, we see the stuff going on in Haiti and old barbecue down there and people getting eaten. Oddly enough, there seems to be a lot of between politicians and cannibalism.
Politicians and cannibalism?
Yeah, a lot more than you would think.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the only instance I know of.
Between them getting eaten or eating people. So there has been some literal eating of the rich during time periods. And then also nothing says like I'm the ruler of the area now, like eating people. So.
Well, that does strike fear into into your people. That's for sure. Coming up, a Florida woman. This is really weird. You look at pedophilia and you look at it through a lens that's a one-way picture. And then we see teachers. That started a big fad. This woman is 23 years old. There's her mugshot. Very attractive. She poses as a 14-year-old homeschooler so that she can chat with other 12 to 15 or people that are 12 to 15-year-olds and end up contacting them on Snapchat and engaging in sexual relationships with them.
Yeah, that's just some sort of mental issue.
Man, she's been busted again in Tampa, and she's facing, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but 100-something years in prison. That's one horny broad right there. Why is it? You're right. It can't. It has to be. If it's 12 to 15 year olds, it's a mental.
It's something mental because she's 23 years old. She's very pretty. She can find any guy her own age.
Any hot dude loaded with cash her own age. She'd rather have sex with a kid, a child. Maybe she's got a very small vagina. I don't know.
Like a very specific thing.
All right, stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Oh.
Florida seems, especially the Tampa area. Remember the blonde, too pretty for prison, in Tampa, the Tampa St. Pete area, who was having sex with younger kids and got nailed, and she was very attractive.
Yeah, I think they've had a couple over there in that Tampa area.
This the latest one. Here's the news piece on it.
A woman arrested by TPD for pretending to be a student and molesting a middle school boy in South Tampa is in jail right now on charges the state attorney's office tells us involves four more victims.
And they tell 10 Tampa Bay she faces up to 146 years if convicted. Alyssa Zinger, she was in court today, charged with molestation, cyber harassment, sending and having child pornography, as well as lewd and lascivious battery. Hillsborough deputies say these charges we're talking about go back to before her arrest, late last year. In November, TPD arrested Zinger after they say she had a sexual relationship with a boy. They say she posed as a 14-year-old homeschooled student and befriended kids at Wilson Middle School. In reality, Zinger was 22 years old and worked at a Publix in Carrollwood. The victim and witnesses at that time said Zinger took and sent.
A woman arrested by...
They won't say sexual. They won't,
yeah.
Sexual. Last November she was arrested for engaging in at least 30 sexual acts with a middle school student. Man.
That's just weird.
30? With one dude? It's got to be, I mean, obviously this woman could get sexually satisfied if she had a normal appetite quite easily. Ramon and Produce probably handling in the back of the Publix there. But she's literally, I mean, she's scheming. I mean, posing as a 14-year-old, you know, reaching out to kids at a certain middle school. Yeah, and
very specific for middle school things as well. It's very odd.
Not even a high school kid. All her victims are between 12 and, they're no younger than 12, no older than 15. I wonder if that one dude that got it 30 times is going to testify against her. And how she get caught. It's always the dude.
They talk. Sooner or later.
If they brag
talk.
About it, or they go to the rent of their mom and go, "Mom, I feel violated."
It's more they talk and then the parents find out.
Yeah. They pick up a text. See a picture of her boobs. One count each of child possession of child porn and transmission. That's just pictures of them and the kid sending her a D pic or whatever.
Yeah, Snapchat stuff probably.
Wow. Do you think she needs to be locked up forever or maybe get some therapy?
I mean, if that's a guy, he's going to jail for a long time. So she needs to go to a jail for a long time as well.
So be it. She's like a hot shit, though.
Equity.
Let's call for more and more equity. Have you looked at your home and your homeowner's insurance policy?
I rent, so.
Do you know that you, this guy got a letter from Cincinnati Insurance Company to let him know the state requires we notify you that your policy, it's time to renew it, and it will include a war exclusion. We don't cover war.
Can you get your policy upgraded to war inclusion?
I don't know. It's called an inland marine coverage. I think that's someone that lives on the water. Also, it includes a nuclear, biological, chemical, and radiological hazard exclusion. So even if the war is over there, far enough away, not that, you know, the bomb hits there, but you get a little radiological breeze through there. No, not covering it.
Mm. What about extraterrestrial invasion?
Oh, it didn't say. I would definitely be replying with that. With something fly. Okay, well, how about a terrestrial invasion? What if they come friendly and they, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm line 36C. It doesn't have that in there. I'd like to have that added at least to my policy.
You don't say anything about it at all. I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on right now. And I don't know if this, I think it changed your mind a little bit. This another container ship. This one's called the King Dao, big old ship. Buzzing through, it loses power, slows to a halt near the New York City Verrazano Bridge 12 days after the one that dropped the bridge in Baltimore. It lost power, just like the one in Baltimore, it lost power.
I mean, it puts me on two levels here. One, either there's something going on where this is deliberate, they're being hacked, or something is causing an issue when they get near a bridge. Or two, does this happen more often than they've ever told us before, and this should be a fear more people should have?
Ah, that's a good question. Once the power failure was observed, three tugboats rushed out there to aid in it and bring it under control. They, you know, the power went out, and then it apparently it came back on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Is there some sort of attack going on, or are we just never been told that, by the way, these massive shipping containers, they lose power and drift towards bridges all the time? Just don't worry about it.
I've never heard of one losing power and drifting anywhere. I mean, you know, I don't know that that's even news, but I mean, it certainly is when it's near a bridge.
Would they tell you if it wasn't, if it didn't cause any damage?
Are they only losing power when they're near a bridge?
I don't know. Okay. I kind of want to be know which one of these it is.
Right. Do they, you know, they're in the middle of the sea. Do they lose power occasionally out there? They said the only major difference between Baltimore and New York is that they use in New York, they use the U.S. Coast Guard to do vessel traffic service. In Baltimore, it's just a guy named Clem. Or Steve, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it depends on the day of the week.
Okay, if another one of these happens in within 2 weeks?
Is this... like I was talking about with the airplanes, is this normal? Like, just we didn't know how bad it was with airplanes for a while, that these parts were falling off, the pieces, the hoods to the engine were coming off, large chunks, there's big sealant missing. Was this just normal? We didn't really hear about it because it wasn't being reported, because it wasn't dangerous to us.
Air traffic issue or airline issues are always newsworthy, you know, I think, right?
So then, okay, is that why we're... was it not being talked about, but now because we are, that did happen, we're hearing everything that's going on in the airline industry, like all nuts, bolts, everything is being brought out to light.
I mean, we've never heard this type of information, like mechanical issues, yeah. not a crash or a slit off the runway or, you know, something like that. It's like that has to do with the physical plane itself. So much of it has been visible.
Yeah. So was it something that's been brought to the light now because of this one story? And if that's the case, are these ships always like massive ships just wandering around, possibility of them to lose power? And it just hasn't been talked about because, I mean, it hasn't been endangered anybody until this point.
And everybody on that in these planes has a phone. That's been like that for 20 years, though, you know.
But was it newsworthy if you go, okay, well,
yeah, the guy, door blowing off an airplane.
Well, door blowing off, but other guy like, he looked out the window and there were a couple of bolts missing off the wing. Does that make national news or is that local?
No, that only made national news because the door popped out before. You know, but.
Now I can't cross bridges anytime soon.
Not a major shipping harbor.
No.
Hell no. What's another port?
Jacksonville is one that you got to watch out. Yeah. And those massive ships coming through there. And you can't get in Jacksonville proper without crossing a bridge somewhere. So,
yeah, it's a long one, too, isn't it?
Well, they're the seven bridges. You got a choice of which one you're going to get to, but you got to cross a bridge.
What's the shortest one?
That's a good question.
And the one that's not as high, the lowest one. Yeah. I hate those big ass high bridges up in the air. Oh, I can't do it. Let's get dark, shall we?
Let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Our vice president, you know how much she loves Venn diagrams.
Oh.
She likes to take one thing and then another thing and see where they meet in the middle and how much they have in common.
Yeah.
And surprisingly enough, the fact politicians and cannibalism converge a lot more than they possibly should. Like, really, you would think that that's definitely two things that you wouldn't find?
Maybe once in a lifetime.
Yeah, well, it happens more often than you would possibly think. Weirdly enough, I think between a mixture of, one, if you are in power and you cannibalizing people, it's a show of force. There's nothing terrifies the peasants more than the fact that they may get eaten by their leader. But also, if you want to show your displeasure, nothing like eating the liver of your former leader.
Wow. Human liver, I don't know.
It's got powers. Depending on whose liver it is. Some people have more power than the others.
Mine's got a different type of power.
1970. A coup takes place in Cambodia that removed Prince Norodom Sihanouk as the head of state and installed Chiang Hang. Directly below him was Prime Minister Lon Nol, who became the head of state in 1972. This coup was littered with casualties on both sides, and one of the most high-profile deaths was that of Lon Nil, who was Lon Nol's brother. Hmm. It occurred on March 28, 1970, as a direct result of Sihanouk's public decree for Cambodians to revolt against the country's new governing power. That's an insurrection. This is when a former leader tells the other people to kill the new leadership. That's called an insurrection. When the former leader tells people to go protest peacefully, that's not an insurrection.
It's not even insurrection-y.
This led to riots within the city of Kampong Cham. As a result, Lon Nol sent his brother to scope out the situation. And boy, will he regret that. Soon after arriving, Lon Nol was beaten to death by a mob of loyalists in a central marketplace.
Yikes.
It is believed that his chest was ripped open and his liver removed and prepared in a nearby Chinese restaurant.
Yow. What year are we talking here?
1972.
Good Lord.
It's Cambodia, though, so the Cambodian Chinese restaurants, delicious. So that liver was prepared spicy, very spicy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of peppers.
Members of the mob then ate the organ, apparently to express their extreme anger to Lon Nol. Hmm. I guess eating your brother's liver just definitely lets me know that the people are upset with me. It's often also suggested
them becoming ill afterwards. They made it okay.
Nah. It's also been suggested there was a spiritual reason for the cannibalism. The Khmer Rouge often ate human flesh, believing the liver to be a particularly potent source of strength. Eventually, Lon Nol was successful in suppressing the demonstrations at Kampong Chain. However, the Khmer Rouge seized power in Cambodia in 1975, sending Nol into exile.
Unless his liver be served.
Yeah, he got exiled for that reason.
Yeah.
In Dutch history, there was a year so bad that's broadly referred to as Ramsjar.
The year of eating flesh of humans? Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens. Roughly. In English, it's the disaster year, marked on the calendar as 1672. At the time, the man at top of the Dutch political totem pole was Johan de Witt, along with his brother Cornelius. Johan was largely blamed for the crisis that was going on. And on June 21st, 1672, Johan was badly wounded in a knife attack. He was removed from office that August. Soon after, Cornelius was accused of plotting to assassinate Willem III of the House of Orange.
House of Orange, you say?
Mm-hmm. So Cornelius was arrested on treason charges, and after initial torture, ordered into exile. When Johan went to visit Cornelius in prison shortly before his planned departure, the duo was savagely beaten and shot by an organized militia.
Oof.
Their brother's bodies were left on display for the general public, and it's strongly believed that the frenzy mob ripped the DeWitt brothers to shreds and then ate the body parts, including the men's livers and eyes.
Ugh. Jesus.
Not as good either. Dutch cooking just isn't on the level.
I can't think of anything Dutch right now. That's how bad it is.
Victor Biakaraboda. He was elected to the French Senate in 1948, representing the Democratic Party of Côte d'Ivoire. Soon after his election, the party was actively targeted by the overseas French powers and suppressed. Most likely, the date of Botha's death was January 28, 1950. However, the circumstances of his demise remain a broader mystery. It is known that his car broke down while traveling through the city of Bwafel.
Bwafel.
Mm-hmm. While his... That would have been awesome if he was traveling through the city of Bwafel.
Yeah.
While his driver made the necessary repairs, Botha wandered off. He never returned, and Botha's possessions, along with his bones, were never found.
Hmm.
Actually, I take that back. He never returned. His possessions and bones were found that November. The remains were never positively identified as Botha's, however. It's been popularly suspected that he was eaten by his constituents.
Were they hungry, or this just out of revenge?
Yeah, well, this mystery originated from a satirical article in a French newspaper suggesting that the whole thing possibly could be made up and he just was murdered by somebody, but you wandered off the woods into kind of the French Hills Have Eyes area, so that he may have just gotten eaten by some Frenchmen.
Yeah. Or is it known for cannibals in the area?
I don't know, but you know they were snobby about it because you know French cuisine. That's the best cannibalism they had ever cooked before. Come on, guys.
A lot of butter they use over there.
Jean Baudel Bokassa. He ruled over Central African Republic from 1966 until 1979 when he was overthrown. There is a lot of cannibalism here in 1900s. It's amazing that you think that was something that would have been gone, but apparently from like the 60s to the 2000s, we were still eating a lot of people.
But is it out of necessity or
out of rage?
Yeah. Teaching someone a lesson?
Old Bokassa, he spent 7 years exiled in France until he returned to face trial. His rap sheet was long and bloody, including the murder of about 100 school children.
Ooh.
And some acts of cannibalism. Bokassa downplayed the charges, testifying, "I'm not a saint. I am a man just like everyone else." And he didn't really turn down the fact that he ate people. I don't know if I probably would have led with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be leading with, "Hey, I'm not a saint. I'm a dude. I do some bad stuff." My defense is easily going to be, "I did not eat the people."
At least.
That's what I lead with. Didn't eat the people. Maybe been a bad guy. Didn't eat people.
Never ate a single person. Not a bite.
David Daco was overthrown by Bokassa and then reinstated after Bokassa's reign. Daco said that human flesh had been found in Bokassa's fridge, trussed up and ready for roasting. So he
trussed up.
Yeah.
So he's doing it because he likes it.
Yeah, he actually got the tide.
What did he put in the middle? Fresh rosemary and some garlic, maybe.
Probably a mixture
That's
of
disgusting.
Some
disgusting. Ugh.
Roasting. Some definitely roasting spices. Ultimate charges of cannibalism couldn't be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. However, Bokassa was convicted of all the charges and sentenced to death, so he didn't make it out of this one.
Well, they didn't actually see him eat it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was just in his fridge. Yeah. 1988, the decision was overturned by President Kolingba, who commuted Bokassa's sentence to life in prison in solitary confinement. A general amnesty for all prisoners was declared in 1993, and guess who's roaming the street looking for his next ham hock?
He's been released?
Yeah. I don't think he's alive anymore, though. He might still be, but he definitely didn't die in prison.
A shame.
In Africa. Samuel Doe.
You think prior conviction for cannibalism deny you a passport?
I don't know. Can you still run for office?
Probably.
Yeah. I see you ate a person. Samuel Doe, he was president of Liberia from 1982 to 1990. He seized power through a coup d'etat, which resulted in the swift death of then-President William Tolbert Jr. The men in Tolbert Jr.'s inner circle were displayed in their underwear before their public executions.
Oh.
To stay in power, Doe is believed to have rigged elections and ordered the massacre of about 600 people inside a church as well. Seems like just a sweet, kind dude.
Yeah.
He also publicly supported America's Cold War policies and severed Liberia's tie with both Libya and the Soviet Union. In return, Doe received U.S. financial aid, because we're the bad guys sometimes. President Doe was overthrown in 1990 during another coup. He was captured and videotaped in his underwear as still active Liberian president Prince Johnson sat at a desk drinking a beer.
Wow.
Johnson ordered his men to cut off Doe's ears, fingers, and toes to demonstrate that, contrary to popular belief, he was not protected by black magic.
Ew.
Doe was then decapitated. Allegations persist that Johnson has met 8 parts of Doe's body at some point. However, Johnson, who now serves as senior senator from Nimbia County, has strongly denied the allegations. Again, told you, you always lead with, "I didn't eat the person."
Yeah.
He quoted saying, "The Nimbians are not cannibals. Even if I was a cannibal, I did not eat Doe because he was embalmed with chemicals for 25 years.
What?
He feared contamination if he ate it. It's his own health he was worried about.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I would have eaten the guy if I...
He did a lot of chemicals,
yeah,
so...
A lot of drugs. Tirador lo bang nung baman mombasco.
Ah! Guilty.
He served as president of Equatorial Guinea since 1979. Unnaturally for one man to lead that long, there had been some strong elements of a dictatorship. Opposition is routinely suppressed. In fact, Equatorial Guinea only has one proper political party, and that's his Democratic Party of Equatorial Guinea. He threw his name on it, so just
make sure. Nice.
No other parties are allowed to gain momentum. And Mombasago is quoted as saying, what right does the opposition have to criticize the actions of a government? That's weird. I've heard other people
How
say that.
How dare you? What right do you have?
In 2003, one of his aides declared on national radio he can decide to kill anyone without calling him to account and without going to hell because it is God himself with whom he is permanent contact and who gives him his strength.
Anybody he wants.
He just said that on the radio. Like, hey, you know, he can kill anybody. During his 40-year reign, he is torturing a lot of people. Severo Modo, an exiled political enemy, was the first man to publicize the rumors of his cannibalism. On a Spanish radio show in 2004, Modo said that Mombasago believes he gained strength from eating his enemies. Modo told the show's host, Obiang wants me to go back to Guinea and eat my testicles. That's clear.
He wants to eat that guy's testicles. Yes. Yeah.
Which, I mean, how narcissistic this guy is. It's like, yeah, I'm in exile, but that guy definitely wants to eat my testicles if I go back there. Charles Taylor. He was president of Liberia from 1997 to 2003. While in office, Taylor faced strong foreign accusations of crimes against humanity and war crimes. Most were believed to have taken place during the Sierra Leone Civil War. Following his extradition from Nigeria in 2006, Taylor was subjected to a lengthy trial in which he was accused of eating human flesh and ordering to do the same to others do the same to terrify and demoralize his enemies. Taylor, again, good job with his defense here, categorically denied the accusation, saying it is sickening. You must be sick to believe it. After he was found guilty in 2012 of terrorism, murder, rape, and more, Taylor was sentenced to 50 years in prison. The presiding judge stated, the accused has been found responsible for aiding and abetting as well as planning some of the most heinous and brutal crimes recorded in human history.
But he never ate anybody?
Yeah, they can never prove it. It's very difficult to get the cannibalism charge, it actually seems, because...
catch him in the act.
Yeah, I think most court systems, you have to be caught. It's not something that you can get. There's no hearsay when it comes to cannibalism.
What's his name? There's just a big hullabaloo of the serial killer Dahmer. Didn't he? They busted him for cannibalism too, didn't they?
No, he had a fridge full of it.
Yeah.
And he admitted to it.
Sorry.
The man had genitalia next to his otter pops, so. Early 1990s, Joshua Milton Belay.
In the 90s.
Otherwise known as General Butt Naked.
General Butt Naked.
We've talked about General Butt Naked before. He led a mercenary unit in the first Liberian Civil War. They were known as the Butt Naked Brigade. As it suggests, almost everyone fought nude. Including the general himself, he believed that he was bulletproof, so he did not need to wear any clothes or armor. And also, he said it demoralized people when you had a giant black man come running at you absolutely naked.
Yeah, I could see that happening. A lot of cops won't mess with you if you're naked.
With his brigade, I'm known told. For its exceptional... Was he got experience out of that? But naked, he described one of his typical days. He said, before leading my troops in the battle, we would get drunk and drugged up. Sacrifice a local teenager, drink the blood, then strip them down to our shoes and go into battle wearing colorful wigs and carrying imaginary purses we looted from civilians. We'd slaughter anyone we saw, chop their heads off, and use them as soccer balls. We were nude, fearless, drunk, yet strategic.
Jesus.
But naked, his fighters believed that human sacrifice is the consumption of flesh and blood, and the soldiers' nakedness protected them from bullets. Now, you would think this monstrosity of a human being that admitted to all his atrocities would be rotting away in a jail.
No.
Nope. He converted to Christianity in 1996 and has expressed remorse for his actions. He now actually does speaking tours where he talks
about... I'm sorry about all the local teenagers that I sacrificed for going into battle completely nude. Is he now wearing clothes?
Yeah, he wears clothes now. I think, well, because you can't have the flesh, but it was two. You weren't just being naked. You have to also have the blood, too. Idi Amin, He was president of Uganda from 1971 to 1979. During that time, he gained notoriety from his manicured image of buffoonery, which actually deluded the broad horrors of his regime. It is estimated that about 500,000 people were killed during Amin's 8-year reign as president.
Yep.
His father was Kakabwa, a Ugandan ethnic group who used to practice blood rituals, during which flesh was cut from the body of a dead victim and eaten to decrease the power of the person's vengeful spirit. Idi Amin observed the tradition in a unique way, claiming that to keep human livers in his fridge. And he remarked it was customary in Kakabwa.
What year was Idi Amin? Because
the 70s.
Okay. He didn't Idi Amin come to the White House at one point?
I believe
point?
He did, yes.
What if he had a human testicle on his breath?
Well, he always ate liver.
Oh, okay.
He would eat the enemy's liver to cleanse the sins of murder. So, if you kill someone...
If you kill a dude and eat his liver, you're cleansed of the sins of killing him?
Mm-hmm.
Seems real convenient.
When asked about the rumors of his cannibalism, Amin often deflected the question with characteristic humor. In one instance, he said, "I don't like human flesh. It's too salty for me." Oh, hilarious. And we'll end real quick with Joseph Kony. You remember Kony 2012?
Everybody
was losing their damn mind, and then that guy lost his mind and ended up going naked in San Diego and freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great story. Kony is the leader of the Lord's Resistant Army, the LRA, which is mostly known for its operations in Uganda. Kony believes that he is a God spokesperson and sees his mission in life as turning Uganda into a theocratic state based on the Ten Commandments. Kony also used his professed religious beliefs to excuse an outrageously long list of atrocities for which he is mainly attributed to. Former LRA officer Francis Ongum is quoted as saying he was found Bible justifications for killing witches, for killing pigs because of the story of the Gadarene swine, and for killing people because God did the same with Noah's flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. The LRA operates through a system of indoctrination, kidnapping young children, forcing them to commit horrific acts such as cannibalism, and getting them high as possibly can be to make them do it. That includes drinking the blood of LRA's enemies and eating the flesh. Through these acts, inhibitions are lowered as well as perceived chances of acceptance back into society. So they made them black sheep pariahs by getting them drugged up, eating flesh, and then people were like, "I don't want that guy back. You keep them.
Yeah, they're all yours."
Pamela Aber was abducted and held by the LRA for 5 months before she managed to escape. According to Aber, she and her fellow prisoners were told to bite to death a 14-year-old girl who had attempted to escape. She was quoted as saying, "We started biting her, but she did not die. When we were biting her, she was pleading to the rebels, saying they should forgive her, that she would not escape again. Later, we were all told to beat her with a log, one after the other, until she died."
Oh, my God.
Kony's power has actually diminished quite recently. I had to look to see if he's still alive, and he is. He's wandering the woods somewhere in Uganda. They don't know where he's at, so.
Why, under exile, or is he under his own?
He's just with his group. He just can disappear back
into
the jungle.
Good to know he's still out there.
Yep.
Jesus. When we return, they're making a big hoopla out of Conan O'Brien coming back to NBC for just a guest appearance. I don't know why. Also, there is a new drug to worry about if you're in the Sierra Leone area.
That's kind of speak of the devil.
Yeah, it's got a very interesting ingredient also coming from the human body, but it's killing a lot of people. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
How old is your son? How old is that young man there? How old are you? How old? Yeah. 8. Let me tell you, he's 8. He knows energy better than Joe Biden's son.
In Sierra Leone, I don't know why this is it's like their fentanyl. Or what's that one? Crocodile?
Crocodile.
That's one that makes you your skin leave. You just get holes in your
Just falls out. I don't know. The high is supposed to be really good though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, the president of Sierra Leone is Julius Maada Bio has declared a national emergency over the rampant use of a drug called Kush, KUSH. It's a psychoactive blend of addicted substances that's very prevalent in the country. It has been for years. He's calling it an existential crisis One of the weird things about this drugs, this drug is one of its ingredients, one of its many ingredients, is human bones. To the point where cemeteries have had to tighten up security to keep drug addicts from digging up skeletons from graves. Wow. They've got it in a tight grip. They say groups of mostly young men sitting on street corners with limbs swollen by Kush abuse is common sight. One kid with a bandage on his ankle told the BBC, "I don't like doing this, but I cannot leave it because I enjoy it."
I mean, you can't argue with that.
No, that drug's got a tight grip on you. The mental health is the most the biggest concern. Apparently, it makes you go Nazi cuckoo. The psychiatric hospital there, the only one in the country, between the years 2020 and 2023, admissions linked to Kush surged 4,000%. Yow. The main cemeteries need police to help them from digging up the bones. I mean, it's apparently there is sulfur in a decaying human bone, and that has some kind of beneficial, it helps the other psychoactive drugs become more potent.
Is this when you sniff, shoot up, smoke?
They don't mention it. I bet you smoke it. Because I can't imagine Sierra Leone having a horrendous supply of fresh hypodermic needles, you know? I don't know, but maybe they do.
It's a mixture of cannabis, fentanyl, tramadol, formaldehyde, and ground human bones.
Wait, make the list again. Cannabis.
Cannabis, yeah. Fentanyl, tramadol, and formaldehyde with human bones.
Is it tramadol?
It's another high, just like a super, like a tramadol painkiller.
Yeah, you take it. I've had tramadol just prescribed for me. Man, you can't just smoke a joint there in Sierra Leone.
They also said that the sulfur causes bones, but also they're using the bones of other Kush addicts, which add the chemicals that's already in there, so it heightens it even more.
Good Lord. That mentality is just so, you know it's deadly, and you continue to do it, and you smoked. Watch your body is smoked. Yeah. The
drug,
cheapest way.
Kush costs around 5 leones or 20 UK pence per joint, which may be used by 2 or 3 people, with up to 40 joints being consumed in a day.
Okay. So they squirt something on a joint. That's where the cannabis comes in.
Yeah. Ugh.
And then your skin starts to rot off, and you're like, you know, hey, I hate to do this, but man, I really like doing this. That's when you know the crazy part is kicked in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like doing this, but man, I like doing it so much that I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah, my buddies are going to probably smoke my bones when I die, too.
Yeah, I've already willed my femurs to a couple of guys here. That's horrible. But look, take out the weirdness of this, of the ingredient list here. Man, I hope the drug addicts that like the fentanyl don't hear about this. Using the bones of other drug addicts who have died from a drug. We have the same, you know, maybe... not as prevalent there, but in some cities, you know, in Philly, there's a street. There's a street in San Francisco. I'm sure there's a street in every major city where you can see. Well, maybe not every major city.
No, what's scary, though, is the fact that the fentanyl problem is so bad that if you told some people that, hey, by the way, you sprinkle a little fentanyl on some marijuana and also some bones from your buddy, it's going to get you even higher. They'd be tearing up cemeteries.
Mm. You know, it doesn't seem fair to call it, well, you can call it a new drug because it's the only drug I know that has human bones in it. But all the other stuff is just a drug. You just found a way to mix it up and throw a kicker.
It's like you're building a cake. It's a new cake if you put all the ingredients together.
I guess so. well, good luck, people. They don't know what to do. They actually, believe it or not, they do have Sierra Leone has set up a national task force on drugs and substance abuse, which they never had before. Chechnya is still a Russian republic, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
They have, I don't know the this stringent. I mean, it's almost North Korea-esque in their new laws there. They have now ruled that all music played in Chechnya correspond to a tempo of either of somewhere in the range of 80 to 116 beats per minute. You will not play music too slow, and you will not play music that is also too fast. Your music must conform to Chechenian mentality. Modern day pop music will not be tolerated. See, you can't. Like someone running around with a metronome in your on the streets.
I hear you listening to Marvin Gaye and you listening to dubstep. You're both arrested.
The new standard of music is relatively slow compared to a lot of modern pop day music, and would rule out a number of Western genres from being played publicly in the conservative Islamic society. The republic's leader, Ramzan Kadyrov, instructed the culture minister, Musa Dadayev, to make Chechenian music, make it conform to the Chechenian mentality. What does that mean? Our mentality is we can't, we're so stupid we can't understand pop music.
Yeah, you got to get, they're basically the Goldilocks of music. Not too hot, not too cold, just right where Chechnya likes it.
They say borrowing music culture from other peoples is inadmissible. The ban was announced following a meeting between the Republic's ministry and local regional artists, but the artists are said to have been given until the, June the 1st to rewrite all of their music that doesn't meet the criteria. So every song is going to be slowed way down or sped up.
It's going to be a pain in the ass.
And if their music is not reworked, they will not be allowed to perform it in public. Okay, let's take a... We're talking about Chechnya, right? I don't know how many people live in Chechnya, but it is an Islamic republic. But it is inching ever so closely to the ban on K-pop in North Korea. They'll shoot a kid in the head in the public square there if they catch him listening to K-pop.
Imagine if they get a little T-swizzle. She's going to just... She overthrow the entire government.
All Western rave and techno music will be banned. They're also purging LGBT people out as well. You know, imagine, I mean, I'm not, you know, the Foo Fighters are not going to put Chechnya on their Eastern European tour. Neither is T-Swizzle. So what else is there? They have the internet, I would imagine, and Chechnya is...
Well, that's the thing. They don't want them listening to American music.
That's so weird.
Or rave music, because that's really popular there.
Well... Are they going to start shooting people for listening to Nine Inch Nails or something like that?
I mean, maybe not shoot, but you'll end up in some work camp somewhere.
You know, at Chipotle, one of the things that Chipotle employees regret having to inform the customer of is that the guacamole is extra, right?
Yeah, to ad nauseum, they have to do, you know, guacamole is extra, right?
Yeah. Well, at a Chipotle in Southfield, Michigan, one employee there was shot in the leg. The shooting stemmed from an argument over guacamole. This is a loud bang that he just ran out. One customer caught it on video. I wasn't really thinking there was going to be a shot, but there was. The victim, a 21-year-old guy, is in stable condition, been released from the hospital, transported to another hospital where he's being treated for, some surgery. He said, I was just eating a bowl. I heard some shouting. I looked over. They're arguing. One of the workers went to the back. I don't know why. And while he was in the back, the customer walked around the counter, tried to grab his food and put it in the bag. Then the employee came back, and they started fighting. And then we heard a gunshot and ran out as quick as we could. Man, is this gonna usher in force a change in policy over at Chipotle?
Hey, yeah, you gotta put bulletproof glass all over the place,
all over guacamole.
Which he specifically tells you, there's no way that kid forgot to say that the guacamole is extra.
They have to the point right here. People order, they go, I don't have guacamole, and yes, I know it's extra.
I bet you he kind of shorted him a little bit. Like he maybe gave him like 3/4 of a scoop, and that guy knows exactly how much of a scoop that he's paying for.
You better get me some more guacamole. There's going to be some fighting words up in here. the suspected shooter, a 31-year-old Detroit man. They found him and took him to custody shortly after the scene. The guy took some time. The witness said after he shot the guy, we ran out and 30 seconds or so went by, and then he just calmly walked out to his car, shut the car door, and took off. He didn't speed up or anything.
I hope he got his food at least.
Oh, I bet he did. Yeah, because he didn't want to leave his fingerprint.
That's why it was like 30 seconds later, because he reached over and got another scoop of guacamole, put it on there.
Dude in Kentucky. Dude, I mean, he didn't want to pay his child support, so he faked his own death.
He really didn't want to pay his child support.
Really didn't want to. He also infiltrated other states' death registry systems using credentials he stole from other real people. He faked his own death in part in order to avoid his outstanding child support obligations to his ex-wife, which were around $100,000. But after all the other, it's a balloon to $195,000. He did not immediately respond. I mean, I wonder how he didn't have a body. He just did it to do it the information way, right? Where he didn't, where this state listed him as dead. He had a death certificate there. He had a death certificate wherever. But he didn't find another identity to use. He hacked into private business, governmental, and corporate networks with information that he stole from others, attempted to sell the access to the networks to buyers online. He is initially indicted by a federal jury, 5 counts of computer fraud, and 3 counts of aggravated identity theft. Oh, he did steal some identities. He illegally accessed state websites in Arizona, Hawaii, Vermont, and some other businesses. He faces 7 years in prison, so I guess it's going to be a little while longer before Mrs. Kemp gets her.
Yeah, she's still not going to get the money.
And you're in prison. Well, he's going to have $500,000 in fines as well. I wonder if he just, faked his death, did all the paperwork, and then stayed where he lived?
No, I think you got to, if you're going to fake your death, you have to live on like a remote island somewhere. It's the only way you can get away with that.
And you have to have a convincing body, right?
Yeah.
A boating accident or something like that.
You put the body in there. He had to have had something where he like drowned or something, where a body couldn't be recovered.
Yes.
You can't do the old put the corpse in the car, light it on fire, push it off the cliff. They'll find out DNA tested.
Yeah. They spoiled that for everybody. But that's really not one to pay your child support.
That bitch ain't getting
a penny from me.
Nothing from me.
You said there's a guy on TikTok who is listing squatters, vacant homes online.
Yeah, he calls himself like anti-landlord something or another. And he's just putting them on there.
This sounds like it could be a big problem in America.
I'd have to search back down again. But there was a Reddit post, I saw it on X, where a Reddit moderator had put up there that stopped complaining about squatting. This. Let me see if I can find that.
Stop complaining about squatting? I mean, there has been a surge of it, and the story's with it. They move into properties of American homeowners, refuse to leave.
Now, here it is. This is the Reddit moderator is deleting all comments that have claimed squatting is bad. And the post itself from self-aware Wolves Mod, who's a Reddit moderator, says removing all anti-squatting comments. No idea who S in your brain, but saying squatting is bad is like saying minority is bad because some minority commit crimes. If you're feeling belligerent about it or do not pay attention to the stick, you might catch a ban. And familiarize yourself with the actual meaning of squatting. And then they give the link to Wikipedia, which I read that, and it literally says squatting is stealing people's property. Yeah. So I don't know what the familiarize is.
This guy's mad because people are speaking out. They're anti-squatters?
Yes.
Well, some New York-based real estate professionals have gotten together. They see how bad it is. They're trying to help people fortify your home to defend against squatters. Day one, when you own it, establish clear signs of occupancy. Develop security measures, they say, like keeping curtains drawn irregularly, smart home security, and property owners may also want to consult local law enforcement, get them to drive by your empty house. They say it's a blank canvas, ready to go. If you drive by often, are these homes that are, I mean, if you had a home, it's vacant for a reason. What's the reason? Your grandma died, or you could rent it out, right?
Yeah, but you could just maybe in between that. It could be you're renovating it. Could be that your great uncle died and you haven't had a chance, and you live out of state and you haven't had a chance to come over there and get the house ready for rental.
Right. If you notice any signs of trespassing, you got to go by there all the time, install some timed interior lighting and motion stuff outside. The quicker you see signs of trespassing, a broken window or a lock, the quicker, obviously, blah, 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 blah. This guy shows this house is vacant. It's for it's real estate. It's listed. They've got two different, those locks that hold keys in them that they put on the door handle. Yeah. And outside, a big hefty padlock on the door as well. That's a little much.
Well, I mean, you think that, but then all the normal other person will do is just go break a window somewhere and slide in there.
Yeah. They said generally a squatter is not somebody that enters your property, but someone who stays continuously for an extended period of time. In other words, if someone enters your property unlawfully, you want to immediately call the police, have that person removed as a trespasser. Yeah, the time is not on your side here. The longer they stay, except here in Florida, you mess around.
It's an archaic thing from bygone eras where you could, if there was the person died and they had no family members and the property was just there, you could just take it. But it doesn't work like that anymore. It is odd that we have a point where there, at some point, it goes from a person that broke into someone's house to someone that's living there. And it's just like a finite time. It's a couple of, if you go 2 days, you broke into the house. If you go 3 days, you're living there now.
Man. They also say that in some states, depending on how long you it's squatted without you intervening at all, they could become theirs.
Yeah.
And once they, once they cook and clean and get a couple of letters in the mail and cut the grass,
it's almost impossible to remove them.
Can you imagine? But mostly it's, you don't see that. You don't see squatters cutting the grass and, watering the yard and trimming the hedges and, the cooking meals and getting the paper. You see a bunch of cars in the driveway and it's all closed down. You don't see what's going on. And meanwhile, they're not living. They're just staying there while they trash the place, sell the appliances and do whatever else.
Yeah.
They're not there to squat.
It's
a normal family does. Kids were squatting this house. Okay, keep it clean.
That's where these people like that anti-landlord guy on TikTok are a joke, because it would be one thing if you're saying, a homeless family that they don't have, they got three kids and they're living on the street and they broke into that house so they have a place to live and raise their child. That's one thing. Still illegal. Still wrong. But it's more, it's one thing compared to the guy that is breaking into the house and they're selling all the copper piping out of there right. and wiring and the appliances while they stay there for a couple weeks while they do drugs.
Man.
And it's that, it's the second option more often than not than it is the first one.
Yeah. Get yourself a pit bull.
Just fill it full of dogs.
Let them stay inside there. Yeah. Okay, when we return, our buddy Eric Matheny will join us. Oh, I need to get my timer right here. I mean, I don't see vacant houses everywhere.
Yeah, not as, I mean, after the housing crisis, the housing bubble stuff here, there were a ton of them for a while
right.
then.
There was a lot of movement going on.
Yeah, now it's not that bad.
All right, Eric is next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Oh.
On our buddy Eric Matheny, very timely. Speaking of homes, there's a couple in Toronto. They have a different name for it up there. It's called a heritage designation. In the United States, it would be a historical. It would have a historical designation. So. They bought this. These guys, a high dollar fertility doctor from Sri Lanka, and his wife's a former Real Housewives of Toronto actress, Roxanne Earle. A house built in 1906, notable architect, owned by the president of the Toronto Board of Trade back in the day, 1900s. It's got the heritage registry, and they want it removed. They're sick. They don't want to own a historic home any longer because they've discovered that you can't trim the hedges without asking for permission. You can't remodel it. You can't add a room. You can't, maybe in some places you can't even change the paint color. He says that he didn't know. The man who would have been appalled by them living in the house commission, he added that he and his wife only discovered their home was designated a heritage property last year when they started looking into modifying it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, this guy is trying to claim racism so he can add an extension onto his house.
That's contrary to the report of the chief planner in the city there.
He's lying because there's no way that the realtor didn't sell him that as a historic registered
house. It's probably
got
a marking on it. You know, if you're on the historical homes in Texas and many here, I see them with a marking. You know, it's a plaque usually. Well, we don't know. The city staff report to the board concluded the home's designation has little to do with the association. With the guy that commissioned it, Calicot, the report said it's worth preserving, though, due to its unique structural qualities and because it was designed by a prominent Toronto architect, Eden Smith, who is considered one of Toronto's most influential architects.
But he may have been racist. They don't even have any proof that he's racist.
Our buddy Eric Matheny joins us on Mondays. You can find him either on his podcast, Bob and Eric Save America, or on social media. At Eric M. Matheny, a great follow on X. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy Eclipse Monday. Boy, oh boy. What a lot to do.
We made it. We survived it.
I can't believe it. What do you make of what's going on with the IDF pulling out of South Gaza? Do you think it's for Biden's big pressure, or is it from the aid workers that were accidentally killed, or is it something else going on?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with Biden. I certainly don't think influential on what's going on. I think it has to do with the aid workers being killed. That was a really bad. I think they're trying to.
Your connection's really. Your connection's really bad. Maybe move around a little.
My apologies. I'm as pro-Israel as the next guy, but I'll tell you that. you know, it takes two to de-escalate something. So I think that perhaps a showing of good faith and de-escalating, I mean, they have to learn to coexist, basically. I mean, look, you know, Israel has a right to exist. They have a right to, you know, sovereignty. They have a right to their own homeland. And that the Palestinians have a right to exist as well. So I think what happened with the aid workers, with the World Kitchen aid workers, I think that was a real bad look. Because we have a hard time. I mean, we can condemn Hamas for going in there and, you know, bombing and attacking a concert, attacking what they did was atrocious. Those are war crimes. But when you shoot and kill aid workers, I mean, it doesn't really give you the moral high ground. So that's my belief on it.
Biden did.
What's going on behind the scenes?
Biden did it upon the Afghanistan exit. He killed 10 aid, well, I don't know, all right, aid workers, but he had an errant droning into a home and killed 10 innocents. No one lost their job.
Yeah, no, he's done it too. But I think Israel might be taking steps to kind of power down a little bit. But I don't think that Biden's doing anything. I don't think he's, you know, some geopolitical wizard is making things happen on the world stage.
Well, I hope to hear some news about hostages. But I think do you think this is going to result in the release of hostages? Are there still hostages there alive?
Well, that's the big question. Are they still alive? I mean, they've been there. You've had hostages now there for, what, 5-6 months?
Yeah.
So are we, you know, any closer to getting them back? Who knows? I mean, unfortunately, Biden just doesn't instill that fear and respect that previous presidents have. So who knows what he's able to accomplish as far as getting them released. But, you know, anything. I mean, look, the same thing could be said about Ukraine and Russia. Like, you know, bring people to the table and say, like, what can we do to stop this needless killing? You know, this is your land. This is our land. I mean, Ukraine, Russia, the same thing. I just, while we're endlessly funding these proxy wars, you know, we're not improving our condition here at home. Granted, we're an ally of Israel. I mean, we have our own problems here as well. So if there's any steps we could take to both sides, you know, coming to some kind of resolution, that would be fine. But I can't give Biden any credit for it at this point. I have no idea what he's doing.
Right. Well, what about Trump suing the hush money judge? Is there a chance that he'll get that judge dismissed? And is this the only way for him to get rid of that judge?
You know, I saw that today that he's doing that. I don't have too many details as far as the basis of now suing, meaning like moving for recusal. I think he has tried to recuse him before. Or is he actually suing him for damages? I hadn't heard too much about it till later in the day.
Yeah, me neither. I just knew that he wanted to get, you know, obviously the judge out of there. Then I read a headline that I'm trying to find it now that said he is suing the judge because that's the only way. Is that the only way they can get rid of him? I understand
that. You know, that's what I saw. If that's the case, if it's an actual honest to God lawsuit where Donald Trump is the plaintiff and this judge is the defendant, then he'd have to recuse himself because now they're, you know, legal adversaries. The judge can't be a neutral arbiter anymore. He can't be fair and impartial because you're suing the guy. So I think at that point, he kind of have to recuse himself.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
I mean, look, they're trying to get rid of this judge. Obviously, that, you know, the defense believes that he has exhibited some bias, at least with the social media postings of the daughter, which that's
right.
If I were a smart judge, I would have recused myself at that point. I said just the mere appearance of impropriety. I would have recused myself. But sometimes, and I can't speak for this judge. I don't know him. I've never been in front of him. I'm not licensed in New York. But some judges really want to hang on to those high-profile cases. I mean, we have them here in Florida where there's, you know, clear you know, evidence that a judge should recuse himself.
And they don't.
Yeah, whether he finds that to be, you know, legally sufficient, whether it's, you know, facially sufficient, you know, basis for recusal, that's up to the judge. But then, you know, Trump can obviously take that up to an appellate court later on. But as far as things go here, that'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I don't know if it's illegitimate. I don't know if it's in good faith. I don't know if it's just a tactic to get rid of him. Whatever it is, it's very clever, legally clever, because yeah, now you're making the judge your legal adversary. So how could they be fair and impartial?
Right. That's a good point. Also, Letitia James is Trump posted a $175 million bond, my night specialty insurance. That's not good enough for her. Last week, she filed paperwork demanding that he, either Trump or the insurer, prove within 10 days that they can make good on the bond. like I've never heard anyone question the bond is there. It's, you know, it's posted appropriately. It's in the right amount. But she, why the nitpicking here?
She wants him. I mean, look, bottom line is she wants to seize Trump Tower. She wants to take his assets. She wants to take that victory lap. She ran for office on the basis of getting this guy. And granted, the only way she could, quote unquote, get him is civilly, not criminally, which I think she wanted to go after him criminally. But remember, she ran for office saying, you know, we're going to get this guy. Right. Not we're going to, you know, try to, you know, fix our subway system. Not we're going to try to, you know, help what's going on in New York City where people are just being randomly assaulted. It's becoming a very, very dangerous place, especially for women. Instead of using her platform as the chief law enforcement officer of the state to go after those things that are going to better the lives of citizens of her state, she goes after Donald Trump, which I assure you, if you live in New York, whether Trump Tower gets seized by Letitia James or not, will have zero impact on your life. It will not make your life better. It will not make your life worse. You will have it will be absolutely negative as far as what it does. Fixing the subway, fixing up the streets of New York, cracking down on repeat offenders, imposing monetary bail again so that people can be held, especially if they're dangerous. You can revoke bonds and hold people. Doing things like that will improve your life. So the fact remains is that she wants to get him by any means necessary. The appellate court said this is the amount you have to post and this is how long you have to do it, and he complied. So I don't know if she has any ground upon which to argue, but that's not going to stop her from trying. I mean, she kind of envisions herself as this, you know, champion for liberty going after Donald Trump, taking him down. And again, as we've said on this program and many others many times, it's terrifying when the chief law enforcement officer for a state like New York uses their platform to target one specific American citizen.
It is. And I think her further, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I would think that even even some ardent Trump haters would see all of this in concert, all of the different lawsuits, all of, you know, all the 91 indictments, and then a successful bond posting by an appellate, you know, demand. And then a lesser court coming back to try to nitpick it as purely a witch hunt. Does anyone, I mean... At what point does it have to be apparent to the masses?
Well, I think it is, and I think that's why Trump's numbers are going up. I think that's why he's pulling from different communities that he hasn't in the past. I think that's why people who may have voted for Biden in 2020 are leaning towards Trump. You have people who, first of all, I mean, first and foremost, above all things, they're disgusted with the job that Biden's done. Biden's done a horrible job. They see what's happening at the border. They see the cost of living just skyrocketing, the cost of goods going up, and they know that he didn't create 15 million jobs. Those are, you're getting your old job back after COVID, coupled with the fact that we have an American president, whether you like the guy or not, a citizen of this country, single-handedly being targeted by a number of law enforcement agencies for no apparent reason other than the fact that he's a political enemy. People are seeing that, and they are waking up to that. And look, if they can go after Donald Trump, they can go after you, they can go after whoever they want. And people don't want to live in a country like that. Nobody, I don't care if you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump, nobody wants to live in a country where our institutions are weaponized. Nobody. That's not safe for anybody. That makes us no better than any other nation. We've liberated countries from this. We've gone into countries and liberated them from regimes just like Biden. And people don't want to live like that.
No, they don't. Speaking of Biden, he's taking a second run at student loan forgiveness. You know, it's election season. He's been told by Nancy Pelosi, by the Supreme Court, that he cannot. Is this just tell the people what they want to hear? And don't most people know that it'll fail again? And it's an empty promise.
Yeah, it's bread and circuses. I mean, he's just, you know, giving the people what they want. The courts told him no. Congress has told him no. He's going to get shut down. You know, the executive order is going to be deemed unconstitutional, but he's going to do it anyway. I mean, if he can gin up a few points in the polls, but no, the court's already said no. You know, we have balance of power for a reason. You know, one branch checks the other. And two branches of our government have said, no, you don't have that authority. You unilaterally don't have that authority. And he's like, to hell with it. I'm going to do it anyway. So on one hand, maybe Republicans need to take a page from his playbook and fight that way. Go, well, the court said no. Congress said no. I'll do it anyway. And Obama very famously said, I don't need Congress. I have a phone and I have a pen. And I think Biden, you know, certainly the people that are in control of him are probably saying, like, hey, you should do that. You know, maybe you can get a couple low information voters. Go, oh, Biden's going to wipe away my $40,000 in debt when he's going to do no such thing. You're going to owe what you owe.
Right.
He doesn't have the power to do that.
That's something that, I don't know, that's not on a direct gaslight. They're going to make an attempt or some kind of attempt to find something they can forgive under. But Buttigieg has been out in full force on television over the weekend and last week, especially gaslighting on EVs, telling Americans that though the everything's going in the EV direction right now in America. When we see reports from Ford, they've shut down the Lightning, their EV department. You've got Hertz selling their EV fleet. No one even wants to rent them. All of these other automakers that are rolling back EV numbers and erasing their goals on EVs. We see that, but at the same time, our Secretary of Transportation says you want them and you're stupid if you don't get one.
People don't want them. I mean, you see videos, you see stuff coming out of people waiting 2 hours for a charge. You know, gas stations are, you know, where you get your gas and you leave and you don't have to wait too long unless there's a hurricane or something. But charging stations, I mean, routinely you'd be seeing lines of 2 hours, and that's just not an outlier. You're hearing that. That's more and more common, especially as we're, you know, trying to make a long trip to go 4-6 hours. What if there's no charging station, only one along the way? It's just not implementable at this point. So I don't anticipate that Americans, you know, look, if they wanted EVs that bad, it would have caught on by now. People don't. People are going out and buying, you know, gas vehicles left and right because they're far more reliable. That's what we know. I mean, you want to try to make them cleaner. You want to try to make them more efficient. Certainly, you know, getting more miles per gallon. You know, that's what we want to see just as a matter of economics. But no, I don't think you're going to see a mass migration to EVs. And the states that try to do it, you're going to see a mass exodus from. You're going to see, you know, if they say, oh, we mandate you have to have an EV by 2030 in California, well, you're going to have another 60,000 a month or whatever the number is, people moving to Texas and Tennessee.
Right. not to mention the you know, Jamie Dimon issues warnings like, yes, the economy is resilient, but our government underpinning it is the big red flag. Underpinning it by demanding, you know, all these EV numbers and then telling you that it's that's the way to go and telling you that 15 million new jobs, you know, and Jamie Dimon is not that political, but he's, you know, speaks his mind. The government is underpinning a resilient, you know, some type of economy that we could be outstanding. But it's a great article. Have you read it?
No, I haven't. I haven't read it, but the sentiment is correct. You know, and you know, any decent economist will tell you. I mean, just the more the government interacts and interferes, you know, the less of a free market we have. And you know, we do our best when regulations are low. That's why when Donald Trump was president, one of the reasons, not just because he's Trump and he's a God King, one of the policies that he implemented was we're getting rid of regulations. I'm going to take my foot off the neck of corporate America and let you do your thing, let you run your business. I mean, Florida, I'd be hats off to Florida. It's very easy to start a business here. $89 and you're up and running. You
right.
want to start a business somewhere else. You need licenses, this and that. You know, other states don't make it easy for people. And you know, some states do. I mean, that's really kind of what we're becoming as a country. I mean, it's not so much nothing really unites us anymore as much as we're kind of segmented into these places where this is what we believe and we live here and this is what we believe and we live there. I mean, you go
right.
to California from Florida, it's like visiting a different country. And that's what we're losing. We're losing because there's so much emphasis on diversity that we forget that commonality is far more important. We need to have common bond, a common culture, something that unites us as a people. And we're missing that.
You're certainly going to feel like you've entered a foreign country when you head to Dearborn, Michigan. That's the
yeah. Oh, my God. When they're chanting death to America, death to America. I mean, some states, they want to throw you in jail for misgendering someone, but there's no penalty for death to America. Now, granted, I'm a free speech absolutist. I suppose if that's what you want to say, you know.
Yeah.
I guess, but my God, and the thing that rubs me the wrong way, maybe if I were, you know, emperor, if you're not a U.S. citizen, if you're here on a, you know, green card or illegally or whatever the case may be, I mean, that should be automatic deportation. Can you imagine, go to Iran and stand in the middle of Tehran and go, like, you know, death to the Ayatollah.
Oh,
you'd be
beheaded by sundown. Yeah, you'd be beheaded
yeah.
in the street corner. It is amazing. These are people that, you know, this country they say death to as the one that gave them asylum from assholes like Somalia. You know, that's why that's become the jihad capital of the United States. Real quick, speaking of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Trump, we're getting down to the wire here. Who's the evident VP?
Ooh, I've been having that conversation a lot lately. I don't know. I really, honest to God, I'm at a loss. I thought, you know, Ben Carson, they threw Marco Rubio around. Byron Donalds. I don't know if he's going to take someone from Florida. I've heard Kristi Noem. I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's just one of those Trumpian moves where you have no idea where he's going with it. I think we're going to be surprised. It's probably someone we're not talking about.
Is Tulsi Gabbard anywhere on your list?
You know, I get a lot of flack from conservatives when I say I like her. And if he picked her, I'd support that decision. I think a unity ticket would be great.
I like it too.
You know, I get a lot of flack from conservatives too. You know, a lot of hardline conservatives, you know, come out and say, oh, his position on abortion today, like it wasn't pro-life enough. I'm like, look, you know, taking a hardline stance on anything as divisive as that, we have to win an election. Like you may not like it 100%. I think it's reasonable because his view on abortion kind of comports with mine. I'm not an abortion voter. I'm not like, you know, no exceptions whatsoever. I think my views tend to be more reasonable. Like even when you poll Democrats, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, like, you know, some exceptions, but like partial birth abortion up to like the third trimester. No.
Yeah.
Like people say like the way it used to be like was safe, legal and rare. And I think a lot of people feel that way, even Republicans. So the bottom line is that we got to win an election. And,
right.
You know, I would have Tulsi Gabbard. I would have supported that 100%. I don't think he will. But, you know. I think we do need a unity ticket. I do think he needs to bring out the independents, and I hope he's thinking that way.
Does the gender or race of his pick have anything? Can it influence independent voters? As you know, like it does on the other side?
No, I don't think so. I think if he does that, like be genuine in your choice. If a woman or African American or whomever is the best for the job, then pick them. But don't do what Biden does. Don't do what the Democrats do, and you know, and just. Have someone be, you know, a diversity hire. And independents will see right through it. I don't care who he takes. I don't care if he takes a white male, a black female, whoever, as long as it's the right person for the job and the right person, not only for the job, because let's be honest, the job of vice president constitutionally is kind of a political eunuch, but it really, in terms of getting people elected, I understand why he picked Pence in 2016. He was like this political novice. He was very controversial. And Pence is like grandfatherly, the elder statesman. I know why he did that.
Right.
But now Trump is the elder statesman. Now he needs someone. And certainly with a 78-year-old president, yes, vice president becomes very important. I mean, just as someone who, God forbid, could become president during his term if something were to happen. So that's important. But also, lest we forget, you know, the fact that you're running as a ticket, that vice president is a political boon to you, someone who's going to bring an electorate over.
And they'll likely be the nominee 2028. So, and you're right. Tulsi Gabbard will.
Absolutely. And sets him up. Yeah, the next generation. You got it.
Eric Matheny, ladies and gentlemen. Find him where you get your social media at Eric M. Matheny. And certainly listen to the Bob and Eric Save America podcast wherever you get your podcast. Eric, thank you very much, man. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. When we return, remarks. Also. Mystery body parts were found all around Milwaukee.
Heather just went and got her plane ticket done.
they haven't. You know, they don't know if they're all from the same person. Don't you think they get them all together in one place and see what they have and if they look similar? Like one leg is a lot longer and hairier than another. Like maybe it is the same missing teenager in the area.
Well, I mean, it depends on what three body parts are. If we got a hand, a foot, and I don't know, like a upper arm. You can look. I mean, okay, they're all white,
similar skin white, color.
Yeah, similar skin.
Dark story. All right, that's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Yo.
Naked dude showed up in court in Dublin. He's a man that refuses to wear clothes. He was involved in a traffic offense. And during the stop, his support cat went missing. The judge heard the motorist refused to wear his clothes when he brought him to the courthouse. She remanded him in custody. directed medical attention, asked for the police to find out what happened to his cat. He entered the stunned courtroom naked, hands over his privates, but not soon after had his arms stretched out where everyone could see his twig and berries after rejecting the services of a lawyer by telling him to F off.
Yeah, you know this is in the U.S. because you're not getting into a courtroom butt naked.
Yeah.
Without getting tackled by someone.
The judge told him to sit down, but he stood up. He said he had been stripped and humiliated as he demanded an opportunity to speak. Was he nude in the car when he got pulled over?
I don't think he was nude in the car.
Okay. She added no objection to his bails, $100 cash judgment. The judge said, I don't see his wallet on him today. To which he interjected, you don't see effing anything. The court sergeant informed the judge the man has had his property, including his clothes. He just won't put them on.
Your Honor, his clothes are right here. He just, I can't get him to put pants on.
Wow. He called the police scum, tried to show him the documents that he had been hit in a car accident. He claimed that he had lent the car involved in the alleged event and demanded, now, where is my emotional support animal? He's unemployed. He's lost without his animal, and he claims his animal is lost without him. He doesn't need a doctor. He just needs his cat back, and the judge assured him that we'll look into it.
I mean, who drives with their cat?
Well, if it's an emotional support animal, you got to take it with you, whether it's a goldfish or a ferret.
I mean, that's just dangerous.
Yeah, cats aren't good travelers in a car.
No, yeah.
And there's no way guards would have ever, if you're in the United States, you would have never been able to, they would have held your ass down and put you in a jumpsuit against your will. You're not to disrespect the court with your dong hanging out. Jesus.
See, that's the problem, though. They let this guy just wander through there naked instead of just handcuffing him and dragging him out of there.
I guess this story is more in support of Joe Biden. A 48-year-old mother, Angela Carranza, still showers in front of her 18-year-old daughter in order to show her what a real body looks like. She must be a real peach.
I just don't. One, you told the world this, and two, why? Why are you both getting in the shower at the same time?
She said she'd been stripping in front of her since she was a baby. She sees no point in stopping now, because she wants to teach her about being comfortable in your own skin. She's a psychologist. Yikes. She wants her daughter to know the bodies on social media aren't real.
But again, this is an adult with an adult child going, hey, I'm going to go grab a shower. Do you want to go grab a shower with me?
I'll show you what my body looks like, old and flabby, because that's reality. She said, I want to show her as much as what a real what is real, and when they see an edited picture, that it doesn't threaten them. And they know that they're enough. The daughter said, this has made me feel comfortable because I know what reality is like. We may not always love our bodies, but even so, we should respect it because we only get one body. If we love our bodies, then no matter what anyone says, you won't feel bad about yourself. Her mother must be a big girl.
I saw the pictures. They were a little...
Yeah. Yeah. She said, we ought to help young people feel comfortable who they are. It's so nice to see confidence in her own self as she's grown older. We know that people have different body shapes and all sorts. And don't forget, I have feelings. I have things failing to the south.
But is she allowed to shower by herself, or is this like required that her and her daughter have to get in the shower together?
Or does the daughter have to just be in the bathroom and be able to look through the glass and see mom buck naked?
Okay.
Does she have a choice? Not today, Mom. Yeah.
I'm going to come in here and I'm going to look at your body. Okay, you've got cellulite and you're sagging a little bit. Can I go and actually do something else? I don't want to shower with you today.
She said, when we come to terms with who we are, nothing out there threatens you. Don't get me wrong, I wear nice clothes, but not to conceal to make people think that I'm somebody else. people tell me that I'm subjecting my daughter to something she shouldn't see. I'm like, okay, you're telling me that my children should not know I have breasts or a bum? When I'm naked, it's not like I'm opening myself up. It's me being me. Those who object say I should not show them my parts, but my children should know how I feel comfortable in themselves. Bradley Cooper says his dad was always nude and would shower with him all the time when he was a kid. Why would you? That's just saying you support Joe Biden.
Yeah, this is all these articles.
Okay, we know that he showered with his teenage daughter. We saw it in a diary, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. He was just showing her what a normal male body looks like.
Yes. Gross. Let's get to these remarks. From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. A great place to catch archives of the show. There are tons of them there. Commercial free, I might add. In the podcast department, also hit the little button that looks like a microphone. Here we go.
I have questions about this dark side of the moon thing. So if you can't see in the dark side of the moon, why wouldn't you go over there when the sun is behind it and check out and see what's over there? I mean, I'm just asking questions.
I don't know. How about a flashlight?
Where does the moon go after it passes in front of the sun?
Continues on.
It just keeps on going.
All right, Shannon, first of all, that vagina joke, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Second of all, just thank you guys. Always make my drive to work a lot better. About to go look after 30 girls at Sammy's on the island. Hope you guys have a good one. Take care. Appreciate you.
I had a funny vagina joke?
Yeah, the lady who's was too small that she...
Oh, yeah. I thought she went after a young kid.
Yeah.
Hey, Shannon.
That was a pretty good
joke. You don't even remember your funny vagina jokes?
I should have made a note of it.
Highly got here. Useless fact for the day. Inland Marine Insurance covers items transported over land, such as by train or 18-wheeler.
Oh, thank you. Not guarded against, not covered for war.
Shando's liver has dual citizenship with Ireland. That's its special power.
So if you're 15 years old, you can cut your tallywhacker off. You just can't get a little over the top.
Heather, don't look at the eclipse through a colander. It will strain your eyes.
Heather, did you use the colander? I saw you walk out with a colander out there.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Didn't work?
I think the holes were just too big.
Oh. Okay.
Man, poor Jokey. He's just rolling over in his chamber right now with the fact that he's not gotten any eclipse jokes in today.
That was my best joke.
Well, this really blows. I'm up here in North Georgia and the app's down, but oh, this funny thing is you can leave an open mic on this app. Can't damn hear Shannon Burke and EZ and Heather.
As for future reference, you can. If you open up the Florida Man Radio app, most people just hit play, and I think it automatically goes to the Orlando feed. But the right next to it is the Emerald Coast feed. If you hit that, that one's up and running, you know, for future use.
We have backups.
Yeah.
Shando, there may be a little false advertising in the strength of y'all's new signal on 103.1, because if I go fishing at Oak Hill or Titusville, every time I get on the road on 46 or on 420, I virtually can't hear you guys at all the whole time out there or back. And it messes up my fishing mojo, man. I need that Florida Man Radio.
I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but
I get the 46 out to Titusville. That's there's nothing out there. Good fishing heading that way, but.
Right. I mean, look, I don't know how many hundreds of times stronger than we were in Orlando than we used to be, but we cover, and between us, Fort Walton Beach and Ocala, we cover 3/4 of the state.
Yeah, just like Kush, there's a drug called Crocodile. It's prevalent in Russia and in Europe there where it's injected, but it eats your skin from the inside out. And you can see some of these guys with like three quarters of their leg wide open. Ugh. And you can see the bone and everything. Oh. It's just absolutely disgusting. I don't understand people these days why you would want to do that. Crazy.
Mm. Smoke a joint.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Ever since the eclipse started, the app has gone out. I haven't been able to get it to play at all. I've even uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and it still won't play. Don't know what's going on. Weird.
Try the Emerald Coast feed. We should announce that when the other part's fixed, so everybody knows that we have a backup.
We'll add that into the talk when you do the remarks.
Hello, guys, and Heather. This is Kevin in Navarre. One thing you need to think about on the squatter thing, there's a tremendous amount of people all down here, certainly in Florida and everywhere else, that move north during the summer. And those houses are sitting there for months while they're up in the cooler climes before they come back. So there you are. Be-doo-be-doo.
Thank you.
Which also I think is why DeSantis was so heavy with that law.
Yeah.
Todd Daytona. Shando, I really, really tried to get a pit bull, but all I ended up with is a shaved head, bald Cuban douchebag in a suit who kept singing horrible music I could not stand. What do you want me to do, man? Be-doo-be-doo.
We had a little incident in the neighborhood with Chubbs.
Uh-oh.
Friday. Like, he was out in the yard just chilling, and one neighbor, one door down, had his little dachshunds out. And he saw them, and he just wanted to run over there and play with them. But our neighbor freaked out, and he picked them all both up by their leashes, which just made them look like toys to Chubbs. And he was screaming. And
hey, my hot there. In accordance with Eric Matheny earlier today, is there any chance that we could possibly take a look at making a request for somebody to alleviate and relieve us from the American government? Because good golly, Ms. Molly, it is a spectacle. Dumpster fire.
Yep. How many sounds? Because he's got...
Well, those are her count of them. So by those numbers, how many he's posted?
Donald Trump has to take the elected official we appoint him for a vice president. We are going to appoint a vice president that has...
I'm pretty sure that's not the way it works. No. Not the way it works. He chooses his running mate.
We the people have to pick the vice president, for we want a person that is going to fall in line.
Okay. He's way over his limit. But in America, the candidate chooses his running mate.
Yeah.
Or her running mate. I'm skipping the next one.
Ton Daytona, it's a Scotch Irish man who kind of is into his heritage. I kind of like what I see going on in Ireland and Scotland and the EU, because what's going on there is absolutely damn ridiculous. Yeah, man, fight the power. I'm all about that, because we don't want that crap here, right? Be-do-be-do.
Right. They're revolting against... What are they calling them? Cultural influencers in Europe? It's horrible scene.
It's pretty disgusting with the anti-American and Israel protest in Michigan and Biden playing politics with it, as usual. And what's even worse is you have Jewish politicians like Chuck Schumer, who doesn't even speak out against these protests. I really wish the Jewish people in this country would start speaking out more and more. And say if these idiots got their way and Israel was gone, who do you think they're going to come after next?
Hear, hear.
Can't wait for the next totality. It's going to be Florida in 2045 on August 12th. So, awesome. But if Joe Biden gets reelected, I'm unaliving.
2045? That's what? 21 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
I might make it. Well, likely not, but...
Nah, you'll be fine. By then, we'll all have Neuralinks in there, and we'll have the strength of monkeys, so...
All right, so how does this solar eclipse affect the concept of flat Earth? Is, like, did they have... Does it shatter the whole thing, or is there a reason behind it there, too?
I am sure that the flat earthers have an excuse for that.
Well, they said that you're actually seeing the sun being blocked by another super Earth in between.
It's another flatter Earth. It's flatter than our Earth. I'm checking the app. Nope. See, when you open it, it goes to live, Listen Live Central Florida, but Listen Live Emerald Coast works like a champ.
Yeah.
Good.
Heather, you have to put the colander on your head that protects you from the sun demons. Everyone knows this.
I don't know what these guys are talking about. The app is working just fine for me. I'm not having any.
I get it.
That guy that just left a remark about the squatters, I swear he sounds just like Mitch McConnell.
Public service announcement. Strokes are bad, but mine wasn't so bad that I take a picture of a salad I'm eating and post it to Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, jokey, I'm disappointed in you today, buddy. There was an entire book of eclipse jokes you could have gone with.
Yeah, well, the other beat him to some of his choicest ones.
Oh, there still had... okay, I bet you I can find like 50 of them here. Best eclipse jokes. I'm sure we didn't get the sheet to read them today because I'm talking sure there's a ton of them.
Oh, I guarantee you. Every other yokel hokel is talking eclipse jokes.
Okay, here's 30 solar eclipse jokes to brighten your day. Son, Dad, can you explain to me what a solar eclipse is? Dad, no, son.
Like, I can't believe that's not a jokey, though.
Why aren't teachers letting their students out to see the solar eclipse today? They don't want to hurt their pupils. How is a solar eclipse like a woman breastfeeding? It's beautiful. It's natural. It should be celebrated, but that does not mean you can stare at it.
That's a little more sophisticated. all right. Those are the remarks for today's program. Get the app. You hit the button, and you can still leave open mics, apparently, even though that side doesn't work. We got to make sure that everybody knows.
Emerald Coast. There's two feeds.
There's two feeds on that front page. So
there's always a backup.
They come from two different sources. Scientists have accidentally... This is what worries me. This is an accident. Whoops. Look what happened. They turned off a gene early in a mouse development. The TGFBR1 in a baby mouse. And they ended up with a baby mouse with six legs, two growing where his genitals should have been.
Yeah, we got to stop playing God.
Wow. While legs and arms share many of the same genes, this early in the process, the hind limbs and genitals have more in common. There's been some suggestion they arise from the same initial primordium structure in ancestral species. I mean, this is a little more... sophisticated than a lizard on a treadmill. I understand that. This sounds like there could be a way genetically to me that to genetically change a child's gender, sex in utero.
Yes. That is a future that we have. We have designer babies coming at some point. As genetic engineering continues on, we will have that point where we'll have designer babies. We'll be, anybody that's rich will have the most gorgeous children ever, because you'll be able to sit there and go, okay, I want blue right. eyes, I want blonde, I want her to have a C cup, and then with this, and then just do, and you pick your baby.
This gene contributes to a signaling pathway that gives forming body its trunk to tail directions. This pathway provides a create a hind limb here or external genital instructions there.
Now, it begs the question, can you reverse it and give them nothing but genitals for legs?
Four? Yeah. Like a mouth with four? Or could you just relocate the genitals to another, you know, like maybe instead of an arm, you go with a third, or maybe.
So we have to stop messing around with this stuff.
I totally agree. I don't even know what they were even. It didn't talk about what they were trying to.
They're not. They're literally going gene by gene and going, okay, for this mouse, we're going to shut this off and leave, and we'll leave this one on and we'll shut this one off and see what happens.
They don't let this creature grow up. There's no way. It has no way to urinate
it. Yeah, no, it dies and they terminate it while it's an embryo still. Or there's some lab that's just incredibly monstrosity.
That it's got a mouse with two legs where its genitals should be and somehow is managing to, you know, evacuate.
Like a little toes.
You get some money for that at the pet store. Right?
I mean, imagine if everything else did grow correctly, but it's on legs, and then it's just like even worse.
Yeah. Or the tail. Well, they're hoping to understand more about these fundamental processes and equip their researchers with additional tools to tackle developmental challenges and diseases. I don't know what kind of challenge or disease you were working with. That's frightening. You did it on purpose. There's a Florida brewery under fire here. I take offense to this. A lot of people have a peanut butter allergy. Sometimes it can be deadly. There's peanut butter in this beer at the Playland Brewery, and they've had to remove this product from its website. The beer is called EpiPen Peanut Butter Ale. Maybe poking fun at people that can't have peanut butter, but clearly telling you there's peanut butter in this beer. And if you drink it, you may need an EpiPen. I don't think it's saying that. They got a lot of backlash. They say that the brewery is discriminatory and ignorant. One guy walked out of the brewery as soon as he saw EpiPen peanut butter beer option. He goes, I guess whoever thought it was funny to name it has never seen their child almost die from an allergic reaction. Is EpiPen a brand? It's always capitalized. So. Oh, okay. It's just a style of a pen.
It might be a brand name.
Anyway, they got to rename it, put it in a different can. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Florida Man Radio.
A man in Tokyo has been arrested, a 56-year-old fella. The story reads that he was allegedly rubbing his buttocks against a water tap in a Tokyo park. And then you read a little bit more. The sources say he was suspected of rubbing his anus against the water tap. He said he did it after he was arrested. He did it to satisfy his sexual desire. It's important to note that the park has halted the use of the water tap. So no one drinks from it because the guy's anus has been on it. And they are going to not just clean it, they're going to just replace the whole thing.
I like that they put in there to just let you know, we're not letting you guys drink from that one anymore.
What, they got some warning tape around it or something? Mm-hmm. Anus. Been right
anus
here.
Anus contamination.
Yeah, this is anus. He was arrested on suspicion of indecency after a picture of himself taken naked at a park was discovered on his phone. They later found a photograph of him rubbing his anus against the water tap. Rearrested him on property damage. He said, look, yeah, I took that nude picture in the park only after I confirmed with binoculars that nobody was nearby. He had the binoculars. He was like, I want to make sure no one's around. And then I'm going to rub my anus on this. That's even worse. If no one saw you do that, now you got, you know, your ass on. I mean, you've done it before, too. A water tap, I imagine, is somewhere where people drink out of.
Yeah, it's like a water fountain.
It's in a park. You don't, you know, you're not running around with a hose. And then you took pictures. Thank God. You know, I don't know if I would have said I did it to satisfy my sexual desire. I would have said my anus needed cleaning. You know, it's a hot, warm day or whatever.
Yeah, it'll itchy.
That's, you know, it's not going to get you out of trouble for rubbing your anus on it, but at least it makes you a little less weird, right?
He's not so much a pervert, but a dirty guy.
Later that day, the first day, a cop found him riding his motorcycle, well, I think a bicycle, with his, quote, lower body exposed. Let your boys fall out of the shorts. Mm-hmm.
He even checked with binoculars to see if anybody was around.
He's riding a bicycle, but he's got to keep his hands on the handlebars. That's it for us today. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in and leaving your remarks. We're back tomorrow at 2 Eastern, 1 Central. Don't forget the Bubba the Love Sponge, a national treasure, starts this network off, fueled by various pharmaceuticals that he keeps in his pocket. After that, it's the hilarious Don DeMiller Show. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. My name is Shannon Burke. Have a good night.